you know, these revelations of, that, you know, the elite at a very high level, and we actually know the basic number of them as well, are doing human trafficking, human rape and human sacrificing of children because they're the closest to God. And when I like read this, I mean, it's unthinkable. Like, you don't want to believe it. And so I mentioned it on Joe Rogan, but I also mentioned that I was starting an AI company. And what shocked me is after the show, more people wanted to talk about the AI thing, and more people were upset about, you know, that I was starting an AI company than they were about, you know, this nightmare of elites eating babies.
It's the first time since 2012, that there are no British actors nominated for Best Actor or Best Actress. Yeah, British spokesperson said, yeah, well, at least we arrest our pedophiles. So we got that going for us.
And so then I started thinking about why is this happening? Well, like, and I mean, we've seen people who have spoken about it, who have, you know, been, who have participated in it and who have left, you know, it's a kind of, it's an initiation that you go through to become, it's a confidence initiation that you go through to become part of a team. And that's when I realized that this is not something that's unique to the elites, that human nature involves these kinds of hazing initiations. Or else we wouldn't see it happening since childhood.
Andrew Breitbart, I'm quoting you, in a newspaper interview he gave last year discussing the people who run Hollywood, quote.
Uh-oh.
Yes, quote. I'm telling you, they're uninteresting, they're vicious, they're vitriolic, they're really, really not good people, and I'm willing to say that on the record, close quote. Is there any of that that you regret?
No.
What makes them really, really not good people?
Well, I'm not saying the entirety, but the ones who have controlled Hollywood for the last 40 years, that quote could be attributed to the campus left as well. It could be attributed to people in who are in charge in Venezuela right now. Anywhere where the left gets control, you start to see political correctness run amok. You start seeing dissenting views quashed. They use projection right before they do so. They start attacking the people that they're about to go after of being guilty of the very things that they do.
Lesser magic, which the Satanists do, they'll tell you, they show the thing in play before they do it. They believe it makes it happen, and it gives it more power once they do it. And then you have the Podesta plan that if Trump won, they would actually do this. And have the military turn against Trump, but now they've tried it. It's not an endorsement of Trump. He's doing some things I don't like right now. The point is, they are literally pre-programming this and admitting it.
Yeah, and they're willing it into happening, and they're showing everyone an example of what it would be. So that, again, the revelation of the method, you see what's there, and it makes it okay for it to happen. And it's a form of also of predictive programming.
I do it too. He cut you off on another subject. Elaborate, because I've studied the Graham Grimoires, black magic, all that stuff to understand these people. They talk about, you have to show them, you have to tell them, that's a metaphysical rule. It also gets them ready. And then it makes it even more powerful when you actually do it. And then you realize that they're doing this. Speak to that if you can.
Well, we live in a universe of mind. And the one thing I've started to realize is that these kind of forms of spells, this magic is real. When you believe something enough, you create a reality.
Yeah, we call it a spell. What it is a narrative to control your mind, and we can build incredible things. So it's a program.
It is a program. You select it, you project it, you expect it, and then you collect it. It's the spec method, and it actually works. And so people who are using it for, you know, there's good spells and bad spells, and there's spells that are promoting humanity, and then there's spells that are disintegrating.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine, nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria, the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DallasTheStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar. But more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. DallasTheStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at DallasTheStore.com.
And boy, what a crazy world that we are living in. It is Kristan T. Harris of the Rundown Live, Milwaukee's independent news and talk radio. I am filling in for Harrison Smith, and we have a great show lined up for you guys today on today's broadcast. But before we dive into all of that, I got to let you guys know how you can support this broadcast, how you can get us out there more on many different shapes and forms. First of all, share the live links, share the live feeds, cut them up, put them on the reels, put them on the TikTok platforms, and let people know that you're supporting this broadcast. Not only that, if you can't and you don't have the time to do the work of sharing the good word, you can support us down at the Alex Jones store. Right now we have T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture. You can save up to 50%. Are you struggling for clarity in your mind? Do you want thyroid protection, natural energy? You need top support like me. I used to be a bartender. Who knows what used to be in my system? I'm glad I picked up some iodine from Alex Jones' store. I can tell you right now it works. Sometimes you have trippy, crazy dreams. And, clarity of the mind is something that seems to get weaker and weaker as our body is getting poisoned. It really is. I know I was just talking to Mike Adams a couple days ago. I was trying to get a quarter pounder tested to see what the genetic makeup is. And it's almost next to impossible. I'm going all over. What is it that we're putting into our bodies? Well, there's no better way than running down to the Alex Jones store there and picking up some of this great T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture. It's great for the body, it's great for the mind, and a whole bunch more. Today we have a great show lined up for you guys on the broadcast. We have a great individual, Ryder Lee, will be joining us in the second half of the first hour. And we have Derek Broas from the Conscious Resistance. We're going to be diving into the Epstein Files, the Finders Cult, and a whole bunch more. Today's show, we're going to title it The Plot to Infiltrate the U.S. Government with MKUltra Victims and Slaves. And the reason why I wanted to talk to you guys about this, I've been going viral the last month digging through these Epstein files. If you don't know, I was one of the only reporters that was at the Ghislaine Maxwell trial for 5 weeks, dissecting, confronting her sister Isabel Maxwell and a whole bunch of other things. We released the stenographer's victims' testimonies, which we broadcasted on the War Room, as well as the American Journal. Harrison Smith had me on many times to talk about what was going on with the Epstein files. Well, now we've had the big dump. We had 3.5 million documents, and I started to read through these documents, and I had to tell you guys, just like many of you out there, my heart hurt. My heart hurt really bad. I started to wonder, what is reality, and how does our world really work? And we're finding out that it's extortion, we're finding out that it's blackmail, and we're finding out that Epstein was at the center of it. So over the last few weeks, I went on a mission. I went on a mission to interview many MKUltra survivors to have a better understanding of what was going on in these secret government operations and how it all ties to satanic ritual abuse. I interviewed the Real 11. Her name is Elisa E. She discussed and talked about
her experiences and MK Ultra and satanic abuse. I interviewed Christopher Latroyer. He's a Montauk boy. He's an MK Ultra survivor. He went on to tell me he had to do things like cannibalism. He had to murder and sacrifice a child in a group, and they had to drink his blood and eat the child. They actually feed them, the individuals. So when I started reading the Jeffrey Epstein documents and some of the accusations, not just against Donald Trump, but also Epstein and other individuals in the files, I started stumbling upon documents that talked about this. I started to think about how programmed our world is, and the fact that many of us out there are running little MK Ultra programs ourselves. The fact that somebody could sit in a Montauk chair and bring whatever was in their mind to reality through a head device that allowed them to magnify their astral projection, dive into this esoteric occultism, and really be powerful. So I started doing some research. I grew up in the church, and I think a lot of us out there started out hearing about this, the Illuminati occult, the organizations that are out there impacting our mind and fighting for our soul. I pulled up some old documents and some old videos and started researching, and I found out that this isn't something that is new. We were warned about the way the Illuminati works, which is, by the way, if you've seen the interview with Jeffrey Epstein and Bannon, where he talks about, oh yeah, I met the Rockefellers and oh, there was some kind of weird stuff. Oh, the Illuminati. Well, the Illuminati hasn't gone anywhere since 1776, right? Although they had lodges in Italy and France and all over the United States. Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin were vice hopped sympathizers, thinking that he was a utopian in the idea, in a vision of William Godfrey. You had the League of the Just, which basically funded the Communist Manifesto, infiltrated Christian religions, Judaic religions, Islamic religions, with their own atheistic agenda to destroy the world we live in, the theology we live in, amongst other things, which later on became the Communist Party. If you need to find the trail, just read Marvin Antelman's Eliminate the Opiate. It's all there. So how does this all tie into the Epstein files, the Illuminati and all these things? Well, let's go back to one of the very first whistleblowers on occult, on mind control, and how the magic works. This is clip one. This is of an individual named John Todd in the 60s and 70s talking about how they infiltrate your mind, how they are coming for your soul. And who was John Todd? He was in charge of Zodiac Productions. It was an umbrella organization that controlled a lot of the music in the 60s and 70s. Go ahead and roll the clip, guys.
I sat on a council of 13 people that take orders only from the Rothschild Tribunal in London, which they claim they take their orders directly from Lucifer.
I was the manager of Zodiac Productions, which Zodiac Productions' name's been changed since then. I'm not even sure what to call it now, but it's the largest music conglomerate in the world. It owns RCA Records, Columbia Records, Motown Records, owns almost all the concert booking agencies in the United States. And that's not even the name of the company that owns it. The name of the company that owns it is Brenner Enterprises. And Brenner Enterprises is owned by Chase Manhattan. Chase Manhattan's owned by Standard Oil, and Standard Oil's owned by the Lords of London. You can track it all back. You kind of get the idea after a while. But I was the managing president of Zodiac Productions. It's one of my jobs as being one of these 13 people. Thus, I got to know many of the people who produce music and sing the music and play the music that you play. Now, one of the closest friends that I got during that time that I obtained was a man named David Crosby, Crosby, Still, Nash & Young. I saw David the day before Christmas last year, talked with him. I got him away from this witch that he had with him. He told her to go shopping. We were in West Hollywood, and I was witnessing around to people I knew. We went off in this store, and we started talking. I said, David, I'd like to ask you a couple questions. I said, I already know the answers, but I've been gone for 5 years. I'd like to know if certain things are still the way they were when I left. I said, now I have to explain some of this when I'm done, because you're not going to understand it all unless you know something about music. I said, do they still take the master to the temple room? Dave said, yeah. I said, do they still have the coven conjure demons into the master? He said, of course. I said, now, I got to know something. What's the main reason for rock music? He said, come on, Lance, you know what the reason is. I said, please, David, I don't want to guess. Tell me what the main reason is. He says, the same as when you were in, so that we can place spells on people that we couldn't cast spells upon. I'll explain what that means in a minute. I said, okay, one last thing. I've been hearing that you must be an initiated witch now to get a record contract. He said, that's right. He says, many of us that weren't total witches have to be witches now in order to produce music. I said, thank you. The master is a tape about as big as the top of this podium that looks like an overgrown 8-track that the album is cut on and is placed in a machine that produces and presses the records and the 8-tracks and cassettes that you buy. After it's been recorded, it's taken in. This is why a master's cut months in advance before it's released. On the full moon, it's taken in to a temple room about the size of this auditorium that is in every one of the major music companies behind locked doors up in the executive offices, and it's placed on an altar sitting in the north of the room and a pentagram engraved in the floor. And 13 hand-chosen witches and wizards and a coven come in and conjure a principality or a power up, usually Regia or something like that, and order him to tell the demons under him to follow every record and every tape coming off of that master. As I tell many Christian parents, you can go home and count your kids' records, probably yours too, and count how many demons at least are there. If that's too hard for you to believe, I'm sorry. That's why they do it. Now listen to me. This is why rock music's addicting. Have you ever seen kids that got rid of their music? They go around like this. They can't wait to find a rock station somewhere and they sneak off just like getting a cigarette or a fix because it's addicting. That's why they can't give it up. The rest of the conversation was this. You can't cast a spell on a Christian, but you can get a Christian to cast a spell on themselves. If you give the permission for the spell to work, being a Christian won't block it. And rock music is not just a song. It is supernatural music that witches carefully designed by their spirit guides or familiar spirits in the form of spells. Now, although the devil's music's power is the music and God's music is the words, much of the songs are written in what we call witch language. To give you kind of an idea, you talk on, many of you talk on a CB, unless you know what a smoky is, and a 10-4, and a front door and back door and rocking chair and these type of things, you don't know what you're talking about. Same with witch.
And that's right where we're at right now. They literally have to let you know what they're doing, and that allows you or makes them accept, makes you accept the spell that they're casting on you. That is exactly what we've been talking about on our broadcast, and what we're talking about here is the idea of MK Ultra and programming humans. We are literally running programs in the daily life we work with. And when I interviewed Alyssa E. and some of these other survivors, we started to talk about the trauma bond and how, you know, Christopher said that his initial testing was at a school and it was a government site and they knew it was MK Ultra, but they told him that, you know, your kid will be a great, you know, American, you'll have 401k. And he said people went missing. They like the first day in, they gave him some binocular type VR set. It wasn't virtual reality, but he said it reminded him of Game Boy VR. And he looked at it, and all it was like snuff adult films. It was torture. It was murder. It was bombing, kaleidoscoped in different images. And they slowly started to program him as a young child. Then every day they started, his mother would put a little drop of acid on his tongue on his way to school because that was part of the program. Because he was easier to condition, he was easier to program when he was on the psychedelics. Let that sink in. And from there, they start building these traumatical, dramatical experiences. They start torturing the youth. They would start making them be involved in child sacrifice, cannibalism, drinking blood. They dehumanize them and they develop and build a second identity. Have you guys ever heard about the Franklin trafficking case? We're going to play a video about that right now. The Franklin trafficking case dealt with a MK Ultra individual who was under deposition, and he gave a testimony in court that he had multiple programs that he was running for the military. His name is Paul Benassi. We're going to go ahead and we're going to play 5 or 6 minutes of this clip right here. I want you guys to listen to what they are saying and how he's answering his questions, because they literally have to conjure up and tell him a code, like, hey, here's a phone call, here's the code. All of a sudden that personality comes out, all of a sudden that character comes out and does whatever it's programmed to. That's how the Monarch Sex program is working, and that ties it into the Epstein files and what was going on with the Epstein files. They're building Monarch Sex slaves is what they were doing. That's what you read over and over, the ritualistic abuse, the satanic ritual abuse. You heard all these crazy things about George Bush being president. That's not the first time we heard about that. We've heard about that at Skull and Bones. We heard about craziness at Bohemian Grove. Well, guess who's all involved in those organizations? Skull and Bones comes from the Knights Templar, and at the end of the day, it's a satanic Luciferianism. My good friend Leo Lanzagami talks about Sabinian Frankism. Well, it's almost the same thing. And a lot of these Zionists, including the Rothschilds, admittedly believe this garbage. They believe they're descendants of Nimrod. Here, play this clip. Clip number 2. If we have it, if we have clip 2 ready. All right, we might not have clip 2 ready here, the deposition clip that 4 to 6 minutes. But essentially what he talks about in this clip is essentially that he's been programmed by a certain individual. They get different codes, and they literally get them into a hypnotic trance where they bring out certain individuals and certain identities from Paul Benassi. All right? These clips are interesting, and if you guys can't find it, we'll put it in the chat or we'll put it in the comments below. But I think it's relative. It's interesting. Here we go.
I cannot get that information under direct orders.
Orders by whom?
I cannot say.
Mr. DeCamp, would you please instruct your client when he has to answer these questions?
Yes. You're supposed to answer these questions. Does this have to do with Monarch?
Yes.
If I use the code, will that help? Which I just obtained in the last hour. D6413782, program XPY Eagle Alex Hope. Please go ahead and answer all questions.
I was created by a government program.
Which government program?
Monarch.
And what is Monarch?
Monarch is an operation that was created by the United States government to create spies for other countries. They use children for the purpose that they're easily integrated into multiple personalities because they can dissociate. Monarch is a program that is run by Michelangelo Aquino, who was an Army Reserve colonel at Presidio. He is also the leader of the Temple of Set. He also runs a child daycare center. He also is involved in human sacrifice.
Is he employed by the United States?
Yes.
At what facility?
Presidio, California.
Is that in San Francisco area?
Presidio, yes.
Naval base?
Yes.
Do you know what rank Michael Aquino holds?
He was a colonel.
Is he currently employed there?
I am not aware of the current situation.
Now, describe the program again, the Monarch program.
Monarch, as I said, was a program that used children to make multiple personalities for future use as spies and as a way to take over the United States government. The personalities were created at the first.
Who was intending to take over the United States government?
I do not know that information.
Did you understand Mr. Aquino to be working on behalf of the United States or against the United States?
I believe he was working on behalf of the United States.
So some segment of the United States was trying to take over the United States government?
The plan that Aquino had in it was he wanted to usher in the Antichrist, which is talked about in the Bible.
And what are we hearing right now, guys? We're talking about Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel is giving his little Antichrist conversation by the Vatican, right? All of a sudden, we hear things and bogus hoaxes like Project Anchor. Oh, no, the planet's going to lose its gravity for 7 seconds. Oh, that sounds like a lot like the rapture. They have programmed Americans to buy this hook, line, and sinker. They're using the script or the scripture as a map to get you to be complacent. If that were the case and we were supposed to be complacent, by God's right, we would all be speaking German right now. And I'm telling you right now that this is a lie. And many of us in our daily lives are being programmed by the music we listen to, by the movies we watch, by the books that we read, by the things that we see. And we're not even having an original thought in our very own mind. We are allowing ourselves to be programmed. We're allowing this into our life. And this is how they do it. They do it through trauma, through bonds at these military camps. I asked many of my MK Ultra survivors, you know, what other organizations are involved. Well, guess what? It's secret societies. You heard about the Temple of Set, you know, the opposite of Light and Lucius. You know, you got the sun, Horus, that's where you get hours, or Horus is risen, the horizon. Hours is an anagram for Horus. It's a 12, Horus and his 12 followers. And the opposite, that's where you get sunset, the darkness, the temple of Set, the devil, satanic Luciferianism. And at the end of the day, we have to stop and look back at Albert Pike's three world wars. Remember that? What was the third world war that allegedly was supposed to be taking place? Remember the programming? Because that's part of the programming. The fact that that letter got out there and the Jewish world has to face off against Islam because of an ancient dispute about who was going to be sacrificed on an altar. At the end of the day, they murder each other, according to Pike. And then the Christians, who are so upset that Israel is being struggling and they're having their area destroyed, they rebuild the Temple of Solomon. And then all of a sudden, the atheists and the Christians spar off. This way, they remove and eliminate each other. And guess what? Satanic Luciferianism can be king, because that's the religion of the Rothschilds. And if you don't think what's going on in Iran is a directly resulted at somewhat of what's going on in the Epstein files, I'm telling you, you're wrong. Just read the letter from the Rothschilds to Epstein, talking about how they benefited from Hitler, how they planned with Hitler, how the Epstein family also helped Hitler. That was all in there. And all of a sudden, they're embarrassed because it was anti-Semitic or anti-satanic. I can't tell the difference these days to say the fact that the Rothschilds helped Hitler. He might have been a descendant of them for all we know. That being said, when we come back, we have a great guest joining us, Ryder Lee by Raised by Giants. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back. Don't forget to check out the AlexJonesStore.com.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. I've been telling you this for decades. They have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research. The human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer, but they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen this with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our ultra methylene blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Kristan T. Harris. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Air Force General William McCaslin disappeared while hiking almost 3 weeks ago. And if that isn't interesting, he was in charge of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. I find it, like, synchronistic because when I start diving into these Epstein files, there's a lot of interest in hokey-pokey spirituality, into occultism. And the idea of UFOs is just about permeated everywhere in government. Now, all of a sudden, we had Barack Obama talking about, oh, yeah, there's aliens. And Donald Trump's like, oh, he shouldn't have released that. It's classified. And now I'm going to have to go ahead and have disclosure because of it. And then all of a sudden, the guy who is running the base, right, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, disappears 3 days after Trump's claim. I wonder if that's maybe, I wonder if he said anything to Barack Obama and that's why he went MIA. I'm not quite sure. But I'm going to tell you, it's a very interesting thing when somebody who literally had his hands on UFO equipment, and how we know that is because in the Podesta leaks, there was an email between him and Blink-182 frontman Tom DeLonge, who I've met several times throughout my life in the 90s and early 2000s, touring in a punk rock band and on Vans Warped Tour. Interesting guy who just wants to know the truth. Well, guess what? In the email, it talks about, We have McCaslin here, and he does know about the UFO phenomenon, and he's on board. He's gonna work with me on it, as well as the fact it was rumored that he had the initial Roswell crash site. So here is the link linking the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. General McCaslin was in charge of the exact laboratory up to a couple of years ago, right? And that had the Roswell crash. Not only that, when you hear all these other interesting top secret stories about Antarctica and groups going missing and reappearing a week later, everything's always sent to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And it's interesting to me, but almost nobody is giving this subject attention. I wonder why it is. In an under an hour window, this guy went missing. He left his wallet at home, right? All he grabbed was his gun, and he didn't even bring his bifocals, and he disappeared. No sight of him anywhere to be found. There's search parties going on for days. We're 3 weeks in, and now it comes out, well, he's not the only one. Roll the clip. This is clip three. This is the news talking about what is going on right now with William McCaslin. Not only that, the new missing individual that was working with them that was reported missing months prior, Monica Riza.
And the latest on the urgent hunt for a retired Air Force general who vanished nearly 3 weeks ago. The FBI is now helping local authorities in the search for William Neal McCaslin. Investigators say the 68-year-old former general had some sort of brain fog before he disappeared, but they stress that he was not cognitively impaired.
There's no indication, and we are not putting forward, that Mr. McCaslin was disoriented, confused. Arguably, he would still be the most intelligent person in the room that any of us would be in. Highly intelligent, highly capable. But that information was given to us early on, and out of an abundance of caution, we escalated to a silver alert.
Now, before retiring, General McCaslin oversaw a highly classified program linked to UFO research. And many are wondering if that secretive work passed and researching UFOs could have made him a target somehow. Even if you're a UFO skeptic, it's hard not to be curious about another strange aspect of this case. A former colleague of General McCaslin's, who also disappeared, also under strange circumstances, last summer. Is it all a coincidence? Let's go to Alex Capriello, live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Alex, what are you hearing about not one but two disappearances?
Yeah, very strange, Elizabeth. We've been spending the day digging into this missing persons case of Monica Reza. She vanished off the face of the earth about 9 months ago, last seen hiking in the Los Angeles forest with a companion. By all accounts, everything seemed normal that day. She was about 30 feet behind that person she was hiking with, smiling and waving. He turned around. Next thing you know, she was just completely gone. Rescue teams spent days looking for her, but actually never recovered.
I want you guys to hear that. He was literally hiking in front of her, turned around, and she vanished. Just gone. Just poof. How is it that they're making people vanish when they're hanging out with individuals? Just gone. I want you guys to put on your thinking cap. If you got any ideas how the government can just vanish somebody who is running 30 feet behind you, that you turn around, she waves at you, you look back, and then she's gone, let me know. That being said, we are moving forward with our guests, and it's interesting because Hillary Clinton's interested in Gilgamesh, and who knows what they want with DNA and, life extension amongst everything else. They have an interest in the occult, in the subjects of aliens and UFOs. You can see it in the Podesta emails and how this all ties together. We're going to be diving into a little bit of this and the Epstein files. Welcome to the broadcast. We have Ryder Lee. He's the director of JFKX and Clockwork Shining, and he's a host of Raised by Giants podcast. Welcome to the broadcast. What are your thoughts of this whole McCaslin situation, Ryder?
Well, if you believe Bob Lazar's story, like some people do, some people don't, it's a very interesting story. Never really changed his story for a really long time. He said the same thing over and over and over again, but he has mentioned before that at Area 51 and S4, that he got the impression that there were people that worked there that never leave the base. Okay, so
like they live there. You're saying that there's people, like they could have been disappeared. They could be in some underground base, both these individuals. And you know, nobody will ever see him again. That's what Elisa E says. She said that they have underground bases where they do diabolical things. Amongst that, they must have secret testing sites for things that aren't diabolical, but military based. And so they could just disappear these people. We think they're dead. And really they're in some deep underground military base or in a side of a mountain that's been hollowed out.
That's exactly right. And that explains a lot of different things. I mean, you can essentially fake your death like that and then be in this top secret underground military base working for the rest of your life until you die inside of this top secret underground military base. But one of the really interesting things that I think a lot of people look over when it comes to Bob Lazar is that he also mentioned that he felt like that several of the UFOs that he worked on, he felt like they came from an archaeological dig. Now, this is where a lot of the word magic and doublespeak comes from within these circles. They say one thing, but they mean something completely different. A crash retrieval can mean that you found it in an archaeological dig. It doesn't mean that you seen the craft fall out of the sky or you saw it on radar and then you immediately went and retrieved it. A crash retrieval can mean that you dug it up in some ancient site, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, any of these places, it can still be considered a crash retrieval. So they play a lot of doublespeak and word magic and things like that within the community.
Well, I mean, that's what Linda Moulton Howe was getting from people she was interviewing about Antarctica, is that there's stuff there that is really old that we don't understand, and that there's people that have been sent on special missions there. Some of them, actually, it's funny, they got flown back, or their research stuff got flown back to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, where McCaslin was in charge of. And as we know, that's where they rumored to take the Roswell crash. And doublespeak is a big thing. It seems to be very common in the witchcraft aspect, or the craft, as you call it. Some people consider the craft something completely different. But it's very interesting nonetheless to talk about how this individual disappeared completely. There's been almost no media attention of it. Like, who's to say, you know, here we have the military. They're like, oh, we got to go to war for Iran. It's for Jesus. Peter Thiel talking about the Antichrist. They want to get the DNA of all these ancient deities like Gilgamesh, so they can take that DNA and maybe create in a, you know, a designer baby lab, a clone, and create a, let's say, an Antichrist by downloading AI into it. And then you'll have basically the Antichrist or Cyber Satan, like my friend Leo Lion Zagami said. It's all getting there. It's that futuristic aspect of things. And it's a lot of the crazy things we're seeing in the Epstein files doesn't make it seem like it's too far-fetched. There is an article, by the way, I just published on my X.com. If you don't follow me in X.com/Kristan T. Harris, please do. It's basically of them saying that they're now ready to start age reversal trials on human beings. Do you hear that, Ryder? We can be like 15 years old again if we want to. Well, and they're saying it's going to only cost you $3.5 million if the trials are successful.
Only the rich and the elite have access to that. And if anything is going to be the Antichrist, it's going to be AI. I mean, what people describe of what the Antichrist is, they are essentially describing AI. But when you look through these files, the Epstein files, you quickly find out that Epstein was into AI, transhumanism, cybertronics, uploading his consciousness, cryonics, as you mentioned, Max Moore cryonics is mentioned in the files, cloning, specifically cloning himself. There's even a conspiracy that him and Bill Gates hatched a plan to create COVID-19 if he ever got arrested as a contingency kill switch so that everyone would have to get mRNA vaccines that would have Epstein's DNA inside it so that he could theoretically live forever. He's definitely into all this stuff, which really makes you think, Kristan. I mean, have you ever noticed how a lot of these famous people look almost identical to each other? I mean, come on, everyone should be pretty unique, right? But they're not. It's almost like all of the beautiful women in Hollywood, which there isn't very many left because they've taken all the attractive people out of all the movies because it's racist or something.
Well, no, we make them all trans, right? They don't even know what they are. They just think that they're beautiful. They call them beautiful. Oh, here we go. Look like a dude or look like a, you know, they are like, oh, it's what's inside, right? I identify as a girl or I identify as a boy. Oh yeah. When you go buy a dog, and you say you want a girl dog and they give you one which has man genitalia, are you going to say, oh, don't worry, it identifies as a girl? No, you're going to be, you know, that's how simple it is. That's how dumb they think people are. And it's all part of the witchcraft. I actually heard what was allegedly Epstein's niece talking about, oh yeah, gender dysphoria. It's real. It's important. It's part of the spell. It's them convincing you that something that will lead them to post-genderism, right? Again, you mentioned COVID, right? COVID, their infertility is going to skyrocket because one of the things Gates said is like, what, 80% infertility? Well, guess what? If they're starting to get the software where they can live forever and they can reprogram our genes so that we can become younger, and it's worked in almost all the studies on rats, they made their eyes and retinas get younger. They've restored sight, right? $3.5 million to restore sight and maybe turn your genetic makeup off where you can get young again. We're not going to have access to that. They're now moving into the full depopulation mode. That's what I see. Like, I was always worried. When I was doing, filling in for Harrison maybe a year ago, I warned everyone. I said, listen, Donald Trump has done a lot of good things, but the conservative party would march right with them into the New World Order as long as it's Donald Trump's New World Order. Now he wants Greenland. Now he's stuck in Venezuela. Now we got Mexico, potentially Canada. Boy, that's that hot, wet North American Union Alex Jones warned us about for years and years. But nobody's batting an eye because, oh, of course, it's God ordained. We need to go into Iran, even though they're burning statues of Baal, which is essentially what these elitists believe in, or at least that they want you to think that they believe in, right? And so they're the bad ones because they're burning statues of Baal, not the people who are really forcing the hand of our government through blackmail and extortion. You think Trump really bombed Iran because there was a necessity to, or was it to cover up the Epstein files, or because his buddy in Israel said, well, we got this extortion data, we got the videos on you. It's not going to be hard for Americans to literally like revolt and burn down the White House per se. Metaphorically, right? I don't mean January 6th, but like if this stuff comes out and there's videos, they're going to say it's AI. But if stuff starts coming out and there are videos, all of a sudden we're going to see the world in chaos. And I don't think they're ready quite for that yet, but they're leading us down that path with Iran, with getting us ready for this World War III propaganda, with the rapture propaganda, with the idea of the Antichrist propaganda, and the full establishment. Epstein hanging out with the Pope. He had a special place at the Vatican. Oh, look at that. That sounds like a good guy you want there. You know, the guy working with Rockefeller.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter either way that we went. If Kamala Harris won, then we would be getting a different version of the New World Order. All of these people work for the exact same.
Well, they could deport the minorities and no one would say anything like during Obama's administration then, right?
Exactly. But I mean, you can really look at a lot of these celebrities and these people and put them side by side, Kristan, and see that they look almost identical. I mean, Natalie Dyer looks exactly like Timothy Chalamet. Javier Bardem looks identical to Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Jessica Chastain looks identical to Bryce Dallas Howard. Zoe Saldana looks identical to Jada Pinkett. Okay. And the list goes on. Steve Carell, Alice Cooper, you know, which is very interesting when it comes to these DNA and CRISPR technology. And they want to have people born in an artificial womb. China has already done this. They've already are developing the technology to have babies essentially born inside of an artificial AI womb. Okay. But what's interesting is Jamie Foxx said recently that they thought that they were going to replace him in 2023 whenever he was hospitalized, which he was probably just joking, but still, you can look it up. Jamie Foxx thought that he was going to be cloned. Again, it was probably a joke, but they always have a funny way of telling the truth through comedy. He was also in that movie around that time on Netflix called They Cloned Tyrone, which doesn't really help his case. And that could have been a PR campaign for the movie release because that's when the theory was popular. But he literally said that he was laying in the hospital room and he thought, oh, my God, these MFers are trying to clone me. But then he said he saw a white version of him walk through, which is probably, you know, the joke part of this, but it's still really interesting and fascinating. I mean, we have been working on cloning technology since the early 90s. I mean, you can look up videos of Bill Clinton talking about the ethics of cloning human beings and if we should be doing it or not. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of faded into obscurity. No one really talked about it after that. Just kind of went away.
Yeah, and he's in bed with Epstein, of course. And the whole cloning thing is fascinating because there's plenty of emails with Epstein talking about cloning and how they're struggling, not with the body and bringing it to age, but it's the brain, the cognitive parts. And they were really interested in removing your soul, like astral projection, right? Sucking your soul out and putting it in another meat suit. Isn't that what the Emerald Tablets were about? The Fountain of Youth, they thought would go underneath into a stasis type chamber, go into the water and come out years younger. That's where the Fountain of Youth legends came from, by the way. Who knows? Maybe that's what's below the pyramid, which, you know, last time I was hosting the show, I think we had Hugh Newman on talking about what's below the pyramids, and they're not quite sure. But, you know, it's interesting because cloning is a real thing. You can switch out your heart or your liver or your kidney with a perfect match. You'll just have backups laying out there in clone body. But do they have a soul? When do they become cognitive? There's a reason why abortion, you know, after a certain point is illegal, because religious people believe at 6 weeks in, that's when the soul starts to, you know, come into the body or chooses the body to come into. I don't know the spiritual specifics of it. I just, that's above my pay grade. Let's put it that way. That's the creator's pay grade. But at the end of the day, cloning is a real thing. And we have to believe that that's something that they've already been working on, right? There's also a lot of other bizarre things in the Epstein files that we can read, such as the Zodiac Club, which we've talked about extensively. Now we had John Todd talking about the Zodiac Productions. And by the way, the sulfuric acid that he got shipped to him at the same day that the FBI opened up a case and investigation on him. Not only that, there's no other records of him ordering sulfuric acid at those large drums with that 655 gallon drums. Well, you can put hard drives in there and you can put, well, some people think you can put bodies in there, and who knows what they were getting rid of there in that Zorro Ranch with the sulfuric acid. I'm just saying it's interesting that, the company that sold him the sulfuric acid was another, zodiac sign. It was Gemini. It's always a zodiac sign with these guys. They're obsessed with astrology. Why do you think they're so involved in this word magic and astrology, writer?
Well, really quickly, I want to bring up the clone thing because I've done actually a lot of research on this. And there's a company called Clonaid that comes out of Canada. You can just, type that into Google and see that there is a company in Canada called Clonaid where they can claim to clone human beings. And this company was actually founded by Rael from the Raelian UFO cult in the 80s. From contact with supposed extraterrestrial beings called the Elohim. And they took him on a ship and then showed him all these clones and how to clone people. And that was the technology that he brought back down to Earth. And he created this company called Clonaid. And they supposedly cloned the first human being in 2001, and they named her Eve. This was a really big deal back in the day, and it kind of got brushed under the rug. And apparently, the Eve clone was the very first human being to ever be cloned, and they sent her to Israel. And she apparently lives in Israel right now. Now, they never produced the child. The child was never scientifically studied. I'm just saying what they claimed happened. They claimed that they cloned
this child. It doesn't mean that's what you believe, right? And I see the website. Clonaid. It's CLONAID.com. And, I wouldn't doubt it. Like, we're talking China's designer babies. Maybe you'll be able to go out there and get your little Baphomet or elf baby if you, so choose, if you're a gothic chick or other things. But cloning is a big thing. The elite are obsessed with longevity. That's life extension. And that's one of the main ways to do it is you get your body and you download your consciousness into a different sleeve. There's like Yellow Book conversations about the human body being a container. Yellow Book is a classified government document, allegedly. So when we start diving into the body being a container, right? Eve, the first ever clone. Maybe you can just move the consciousness through astral projection from one individual to another. And we can see, cause that was a lot with MK Ultra, was astral projection, astrology, remote viewing. Those were all parts of the Monarch program and other things. That's why they had the different segments, the Alpha, the Omega, you know, they had the Theta, you know, who was more of the simp and the sex slave. And then they had the Alpha, which was more the hitman. And then they had the Omega program, which was, you know, you kill yourself. It's very interesting, writer. What are your final thoughts here? We have 3 minutes left, and I want to give you a chance to plug yourself. But do you think there's any examples? I mean, you can get your dog clone, bro. You can go get a clone dog or cat. You can spend $10,000, $20,000. I think Tom Brady did. He's like, yeah, I got a cloned animal.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they do animal tests. The first clone ever was a sheep, Dolly the sheep. They cloned, that was the first animal clone was a sheep. So if they can do it with animals, they can definitely do it with humans. But there's another person that also has claimed that they were cloned at this clone aid facility in Canada, and that's a rapper named Kid Boo. Now, he claims that he was cloned by this clone aid company. Now, again, you don't know if he's just making this up for clout and to be a part of this, you know, to make him seem very sensationalized, to boost up his career or not. But apparently he went on a live TikTok stream and had his clone come in. Now, there's different ways that you can do this through editing and split screen and stuff. But I think that is really fascinating. And the clone aspect, I mean, you can just research back into the 90s with Bill Clinton. There was an entire subcommittee that was set up on the ethics of cloning all the way back in the 90s. It's really interesting. But yes, thanks so much for having me on, Kriston. Really appreciate it. If people are interested in figuring out more about me and wanting to listen to my show, they can find me on Raised by Giants on YouTube and any and all podcast platforms. Also a filmmaker. I have 2 documentaries on Amazon Prime, Apple TV Plus, and Tubi. JFKX, Solving the Crime of the Century, and A Clockwork Shining, Kubrick's Odyssey 3, which is a study of Stanley Kubrick and his films and how The Shining is really a giant MKUltra operation. And I'm currently working on a new documentary called Psychic Agent, The Gate Programs.
Writer, thank you so much for joining us. I just want to let you know the word cloning comes from Greek. It means asexual reproduction. You know, because all the transhumanists, they want post-genderism. Post-genderism, that means we won't reproduce the old-fashioned way. It's like Demolition Man all over again. Thank you, Writer Lee, Raised by Giants. Everyone, go check him out. Go subscribe. Interesting individual. He has viral clips, like ultra-viral clips. He's always viral. Make sure you follow Raised by Giants on Facebook and all the other social media, Instagram, and as well as let your friends know all this crazy stuff. Drop some comments in the chat. Let us know what you think. Are they cloning human beings? Are they cloning, you know, obviously they're cloning animals. How far will it go? But when we come back from break, we have Derek Brose who will be joining us. We're going to be diving into the finder's cult, the Epstein files, and his documentary.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at theellishowstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Listening to The War Room, I'm your host, Kristan T. Harris, host of the Rundown Live, Milwaukee's independent news and talk radio. If you'd like to find more about me, you can find our broadcast on band.video as well as Spotify. We are live daily on groundzeroplus.com. That's where our broadcast is carried audio-wise, and our video is on social media platforms all on the internet, the interweb of things. I wanted to really let you guys know one way you can support this broadcast. Listen, not all of us can go out there and spread the good gospel every day. We work 9-to-5 jobs, or we're working 12 hours a day. Some of us are working 2 hours. We got families to take care of, and we can't be out there being missionaries for truth all the time, even though I'd like to. Not everyone can be Kristan T. Harris. Not everyone can be Alex Jones. Everyone has different roles in their life. And one of the ways you can support this broadcast is going to the AlexJonesStore.com. Check out T3 Trifecta Iodine tincture. It's great for clearing the cobwebs out of your mind. It's great for energy, amongst other things. And it's great for cleaning out and detoxing your system. These kind of things are really important. Like, we talk about, clean homes. You want to have clean homes. You don't want dirt in your home. How about your body? How about your temple, which you serve to your creator, if you believe such a thing? Keeping your body clean, holistic medication, growing your own garden, all those other things. But T3 is a great way and a great supplement to start your day off daily. Just put a couple drops in your mouth and you are ready to go. It's a dietary supplement. It's great. And with all this talk about World War III, a little iodine might not be a bad thing. That being said, our next guest is a documentary filmmaker. He's an investigative journalist, and he's one of the very first individuals who really dissected the Jeffrey Epstein situation. He's interviewed countless of individuals involved in the Finders situation, trying to get the answers. And Derek Bros is our guest today. And welcome to the broadcast, Derek Bros, who has a great series, by the way. Pyramid of Power, great series. Alex Jones was also one of the first people to talk about Epstein. But Derek Bros has done a lot of investigation, great documentary, Bringing Down Jeffrey Epstein. You guys check it out. Derek, welcome to the broadcast. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great, Kristan. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, Derek. Like, how did you get involved in all this? How did you first hear about Jeffrey Epstein? Because a lot of people really didn't hear about him or know about him a whole lot until his arrest. And then you had all these conspiracies fly. It went viral on the internet. And then you had all the trash, which we're finding out a lot about the Epstein files now, that a lot of the controlled resistance aspect of things with Boris Nikolai introducing Epstein to the guy who actually founded the Politically Incorrect Forum, which spawned QAnon. So we have controlled resistance. We have a battle for your mind. We really are getting programmed daily. And it seems like a lot of people bought it hook, line, and sinker, and we're finding out that reality is very different than what we thought. But you've been researching SRA, satanic ritual abuse. You've been investigating the Epstein files and Jeffrey Epstein long before this situation has blown up in the media. Let's start with how you got started and interested in these subjects, because it's not a joyful subject. It takes a real real heart of gold to really dive in and really pursue this, because there's a lot of dangers. When you talk about child trafficking or big pharma doing corrupt things, those are a couple of things that you can be unalived real easily these days. And you went deep. You went looking for individuals involved in the Finders cult. You were trying to contact individuals. And let's start and roll back to your Jeffrey Epstein roots. What was it that got you first interested in this topic?
Well, thanks for that, Kristan. So I've been an independent journalist since 2010. I will give credit in the very beginning to InfoWars and the documentaries put out by Alex Jones back in the day, which kind of set me on this path. And, you know, I've investigated all kinds of things from digital privacy and a number of topics, but I've also always had my ear to human trafficking, first as it related to Houston, Texas, where I'm originally from, which has been known as a hub for human trafficking for years. So I've been investigating it on that more, I guess you could say, kind of ground level for years, and then had started to hear the name of Jeffrey Epstein or hear the tales of this guy who was a billionaire, who has had connections to all kinds of powerful people, politicians, etc., and who had been allowed to go free. And I decided to start following his case and including going to the courtroom for some proceedings.
We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Kristan T. Harris. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Derek Burroughs is our guest from the Conscious Resistance. We're diving into the Epstein files, and he made a documentary in 2018 bringing down Jeffrey Epstein and exposing illegally and culturally everything else involved with Jeffrey Epstein. And so we were kind of diving into how you found out about him. And it's interesting. Alex Jones InfoWars is definitely in my root plant as well. Especially when we start talking about things like trafficking and the police state amongst other things. But here we have it where, you know, you have this guy, this billionaire who's rumored to do, trafficking. And you have definitely a knack for getting a good story and diving into this. But what does it mean to be bringing down Jeffrey Epstein and the details behind how you got involved in all this? And what is it that you found when you started looking? Because he is tied to a lot of powerful people, undoubtedly.
Absolutely. So as I was saying before the break, you know, I started to focus on Epstein's court proceedings. So the documentary Bringing Down Jeffrey Epstein, which everybody can find at theconsciousresistance.com, I released it in November 2018, but I had been filming it that whole summer 2018. And as you saw just a moment ago on screen, that was a shot of me outside of Jeffrey Epstein's house that I recorded that summer. And in the year leading up to that, as I was saying earlier, I kept hearing about this name Jeffrey Epstein and these rumors of this guy who had all these connections and he got off with the sweetheart deal. And the more I looked into it, I realized, oh, well, Jeffrey Epstein's actually being sued by some of these alleged victims. And I started to look at the work of attorney Bradley Edwards and basically just started to go to some of the ongoing civil proceedings. And I went to one of them in Florida. Epstein wasn't there. Of course, he had his attorneys speak for him, so he would never show up in person. But I went there and started to just follow it, you know, what was actually going on and paying attention to, okay, this guy is not only connected to all these various people, had relationships with everybody from Trump and Clinton, as everybody knows very well, to celebrities and bankers. And as we're learning more and more with the release of these documents in these last 6 months, all the way to, you know, former Israeli prime ministers and defense ministers and just cutting all kinds of deals for foreign nations. We didn't know all of those details back then, but we knew that he was definitely, highly connected. And so, I decided I wanted to do this documentary. And as you're seeing on screen, for those who are watching, these are clips that we gathered. This is back in, again, 2018. A lot of the information that's coming out from these Epstein files has been out, including the deposition, the videos from within Jeffrey Epstein's home. Of course, there's a lot that we don't know and we didn't know then. But I decided that I wanted to report on this. And, you know, what I meant by bringing down Jeffrey Epstein, or what the hope was with the documentary, was that it would raise the profile of this character, get more people to listen to it. And I'm happy to say that the video had received more than 500,000 views just on YouTube alone when it did come out. And then, of course, the next year in 2019, when Jeffrey Epstein was actually arrested, it did, you know, increase the viewership and increase people talking about it. My whole goal was just to try to be another voice that is raising awareness around Epstein, because there weren't so many people. You know, if you can look back to a decade ago, there weren't so many people, Alex Jones probably being one of them, as well as a few other people in independent media, I'm sure like you as well, Kristan, who were talking about Epstein and what, not just who he was, but what are the bigger implications for this character, for his connections to royalty, his connections to politicians, to the banking class, to the celebrity class. And we continue to find out more and more people associated with him who are emailing him. So my hope was to try to raise awareness about it at a time when, you know, people can really cast their minds back. Like, now it seems so obvious, even people who don't pay much attention to the news, if you said the name Jeffrey Epstein, they would know who he was. But 10 years ago, that was not the case. And so my goal with this documentary was to try to just open that door a little bit wider and get more people talking about not only Epstein, but trafficking networks. And then, of course, with Epstein, the bigger picture, I think, is not only the women and young girls he was trafficking, but also his connections to the scientific realm, to transhumanism, to international banking, to the war machine, the military-industrial complex. You know, Jeffrey Epstein was a trafficker, but also there was much, much bigger picture going on with all of his connections.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, when I was reading the Epstein files that were released about a month ago, there was emails between him and one of the French Rothschilds talking about how they planned with Hitler, they aided Hitler, they benefited from Hitler, as well as the Epstein family, who were like Vienna bankers, and they gave, like, you know, Hitler housing and stuff like that. And that was leaked. That was put out there. That had to be a slap in the face, because if you or I would have said that 2 years ago, it would be anti-Semitic, you know, or anti-satanic. I don't know if I can tell the difference anymore. But, like, you know, you kind of look at it and you kind of see this and you're like, okay, well, there's some truth to that conspiracy. And you're talking about the scientists. He was into cloning. He wanted to seed the world with his genetics, which is bizarre. Why would you want to do that? As well as, you know, he was very influential. I mean, obviously Donald Trump shows up in the files an incredibly large amount of time. Bill Clinton does. There's accusations about both those individuals flying all around, so much so that you're starting to see the Clintons starting to say nice things about Donald Trump. And all of a sudden Donald Trump decides he's going to attack Iran. Real quick, I know this is a little segue and we didn't really plan about talking about this, but I know that you just did a debate about this. What are your thoughts? Do you think Iran is a result of the Epstein files in part because you wanted to bring attention away from it? Because there's a lot of people in America that were starting to buy in and really have the shells taken out of their eyes, Derek. And I'm not saying that Donald Trump couldn't have been a changed man, but I think they're starting to see who the emperor really is because he has no clothes.
Yeah, you know, I hesitate to, I think there's this common trope in our conspiracy research community where people always say one thing is a distraction from another, which obviously there are efforts to distract the public and the masses, and I do think that exists, but I also think that we're all capable of intelligent enough to hold more than one topic in our mind at a time. So Epstein hasn't gone anywhere. If Trump or his, you know, people behind him, if the Zionists are trying to distract from Epstein by launching a war with Iran, I don't think it's going to work. Obviously, Iran is a bigger picture in itself, and it's taking up a lot of the space right now, and I think rightfully so. You mentioned my debate. I did debate author Naomi Wolf, who many people were very supportive of during the COVID years, for her talking about the Pfizer papers and the injections and everything like that. Unfortunately, many people who consider themselves MAGA have now, you know, gone towards what some of us would say MEGA, Make Israel Great Again, and just supporting these sort of unconstitutional, illegal actions by the Trump administration. And in that debate, I was just making the point that this is, it's just a continuation of the policies we saw under Bush, Obama, Biden, and even under Trump's first term, which is to launch more interventions, if you want to be kind with the word, instead of calling it a war, to launch more wars and violence and aggression at other countries without congressional approval, without constitutional approval, not to mention really on propaganda telling us since the last 30 years, as Netanyahu has done, that Iran is, you know, weeks away from finishing their nuclear program and sending, unfortunately, more Americans to die in these wars. And so I do think that this is a big picture. And I even want to just float one idea since you brought the topic up, that I think that people need to remember that in the early 2020 COVID days, Iran was one of the first places we were told that the COVID, you know, alleged pandemic was spreading quickly. And Iran also did have lockdowns. They also had vaccine mandates. They also had many of the policies that many of us were fighting against. And there are folks more and more starting to look at and say, okay, well, Iran and Israel are fighting with the U.S. And it seems like, you know, one narrative is, well, Israel and the U.S. are bad guys fighting Iran, not to say Iran's good guys, but there's that kind of, there's that one perspective. And there's also a larger perspective that many of us, I think, are starting to wonder about. And that is, you know, can we really trust this narrative that the U.S. is fighting against Russia and China and countries like Iran, and that these represent two different poles of the so-called New World Order? There's a lot of people who believe that the BRICS nations represent this multipolar order. And there's some people who I think mistakenly in the independent alternative media buy into this narrative that Russia and China are going to be the bastions of freedom and we should support them instead of the evil U.S. And I think these are all sort of false binaries and false dichotomies. Maybe there's a potential that the reality is all of these countries with central banks, including Iran, people think Iran doesn't have a central bank. They do have one, that maybe all these countries already have been controlled for generations. As we know, the rise of China and the rise of Russia and the Russian Revolution going back 100 years ago was financed by the same Wall Street bankers that we know are behind the United States and that, you know, the Rothschilds that helped start Israel. What if all of these countries are already being controlled by the same people and some of these efforts, including the war and, you know, raising gas prices and messing with the energy sector by bombing gas and oil fields is all part of a sort of another COVID-like plan to take us towards the Great Reset, to take us towards Agenda 2030. I mean, I think that's something we need to consider more and more, that maybe they've already got control of all sides of the narrative and it's all about pushing us closer and closer to that direction of controlling cash with digital currencies, controlling the flow of people driving, whether you have the ability to travel, all this sort of stuff. I think that we do need to maybe take a step back and ask if what we're being shown on screen, as usual, we should question everything and remain vigilant. Are these narratives being shown to us, even the narrative that many of us believe that, hey, the U.S. and Israel shouldn't have done this, and, you know, Iran is being attacked and they're just defending themselves. But maybe in a bigger picture, the people really running the show are already in control of these nations and they're taking us towards the direction they wanted to go the whole time.
Controlled resistance, right? And that's what I was talking about from the beginning of the program with the propaganda and Ghislaine Maxwell running big Reddit forums. And then it turned out Boris Nikolai, who was Bill Gates' right-hand man, introduced Epstein to the guy who ended up founding the forum in which QAnon was in. It was just like, it's all controlled resistance. It's a psyop. We're all being programmed. We're all programmable individuals. And one thing that you really talk about is breaking the programming, Derek. I know when we spoke together in Wisconsin many years ago, I talked a lot about the magic behind the words, but the things you're seeing right now are true. I went to my grocery store. We have a really great grocery store in Wisconsin called Woodman's, right? The guy that owns it is a liberal, but that doesn't matter, right? The food's good. The price is good. A lot of organics. Well, now they don't take cash. They're open 24 hours, but at 10 p.m., even though they have the machines, right? The robot machines where you can put the cash in, they don't want me to do the cash. They said, oh, we can't take cash. I'm like, well, can you open up a register for me? And they're like, no, there's just no cash after 10 p.m. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? The American dollar isn't good here. You got to use a credit card at the end of the day. I don't understand the thought process. Then I heard just recently that Uber's all in on getting these driverless cars. Well, that's great. This way, driverless car can take you right to the police station if you have a bench warrant or something, you know. That's where we're going. The cashless society, because then they can control everything. It's very dangerous when we talk about central banking, digital currency, and we start diving into this because they can turn it on and off. Maybe you own the government tax money or money in general, and then you can't buy a soda pop for yourself because the fact is they won't let you because of the central banking digital currency is going to be able to pump and dump the cryptocurrency market. It's going to be able to do so much overall things. And at the end of the day, it's really everything we should be fearing. And the idea that the cryptocurrency was made to get away from centralized currency, and here they're trying to consolidate it all. And of course, we find out also that Epstein had his hands in starting Coinbase and potentially in starting Bitcoin. We're finding all this stuff in the Epstein files. It's starting to all come together. Like, you're right. It's what do they want us to think? It was like when I was talking about Tom DeLonge, did they want him to actually believe that there is UFO wreckage at Patterson Air Force Base? And that's why they, you know, went along with that and talked to him about it and exploring that way. It's a way to get money for the industry. Who knows? Who knows what William, Castlin was talking to him about and what he all told him. All I know is William Castlin is missing now, which is interesting of itself. But back on track, Epstein was obsessed with cloning. He was obsessed with all these things, and we just covered a whole bunch of them, especially cryptocurrency. It's crazy to me to think that he had his hand in so many cookie jars, but that's what we're seeing. You're right. He is interested in scientists, but not only that, big tech.
Absolutely. I mean, so the crypto piece I think is important because, as you know, Kriston, I was somebody who started to investigate Bitcoin in 2011, 2012, and even got paid in Bitcoin for a few years back in 2013 when I used to work for journalist Ben Swan. And for many of us coming out of the Ron Paul movement, coming out of the End the Fed movement, really trying to find solutions and really looking for how do we, if we can't, you know, end the Fed through the legal system, because nobody was going to introduce Ron Paul's End the Fed bills, and it didn't seem like that's a possibility. It still doesn't seem like it's a possibility. Then what do we actually do? And for many of us, it seemed like, okay, maybe the answer is to stop using their system as much as possible. Maybe the answer is to exit from those systems, stop using the Federal Reserve note, and support local alternative currencies, whether that's paper currencies or something else. And then Bitcoin comes on the scene, and there were many people who had a very freedom-minded, almost anarchist mindset at the beginning of that community. And there were clearly, as we see now, people who were willing to take money from Jeffrey Epstein. Even this is, of course, after Epstein had already been arrested and, he got his sweetheart deal. But there were many people who maybe just said, okay, here's a rich guy and I need money for funding for development, so I'll take the money. I'm not going to ask questions. But there was also many people who seemed to not care and just maybe even from the beginning were trying to hijack Bitcoin. I want to encourage people to check out a book called Hijacking Bitcoin by Roger Ver, who was one of the people involved early on in the Bitcoin community and also one of the people who said, who in his book details how the connections from not only the Epstein crowd, but the connections from the Bilderberg Group and other shady organizations that very quickly got their teeth into Bitcoin. You know, some people think it was a scam from the beginning, an NSA project. I don't know if the evidence is as strong for that as some people might believe, but clearly we know now it was definitely hijacked and definitely misdirected so that it could just become a digital gold, an investment, a stock. You know, most people who are aware of Bitcoin, they think about it like that. Okay, I can put some money in there and maybe the number's going to go up and I'm going to get rich. They don't think of it as an alternative to using the dollar, a way to pay my bills, a way to transact value that isn't taxable, that isn't, you know, under the eyes of the government. That was the original vision. And there are still many other cryptocurrencies that exist like Monero and Zeno and others who have that original vision and who try to kind of maintain that privacy, anonymity, you know, this sort of, you know, F you to the government kind of mentality. But that is not what Bitcoin is now. And so it's clear as day that whatever potential Bitcoin had, it was hijacked, it was misdirected, it was taken over and steered in a direction that would be easier to manage and easier to control. And now the masses of people who go to Bitcoin conferences, and I've been to some of them to do reporting, even the last couple of years when Trump went to the Bitcoin Nashville conference and gave a speech there, I was there. Most of those people have no idea or no thought in their mind as Bitcoin as a way to avoid government or to avoid taxation or to avoid, banks in general. They just think of it as just another stock to invest in. And I think that was definitely a result of the Epstein network and their ilk trying to take a project that had potential at least, right? And I know that some people are completely just against all forms of digital currency, and I understand why so. But I also think that there was that potential, and that potential may still exist with other projects. Like, for example, I mentioned Monero. There's a reason why the U.S. government has a bounty out on Monero and trying to crack Monero's encryption as well as some of these other projects, because they don't want people to have privacy, anonymity, whether it's with cash or whether it's in digital means. They want to make sure they can track and trace everything we do, where we spend it. And then, of course, as we saw during COVID, if you have the wrong opinions or the wrong views, they want to be able to turn you off and control the on-ramps and off-ramps of the financial institutions. And so that, I think we can definitely point a finger at the Epstein network for having played a role in that. And it's something that I'm watching closely, because even as we're having this conversation, I just took a break from a new article I'm writing. I write articles for The Last American Vagabond, and I'm working on a new report right now about this banking convention that's happening right now here in Mexico, where I now live, where the heads of the Bank of International Settlements, the heads of BlackRock Mexico, Justin Trudeau, all these shady characters are here in Mexico right now in Cancun discussing the future of digital payments and how they can get a place like Mexico, where 89% of the country uses cash, how they can get those 89% of people to abandon cash and to join digital platforms like CBDCs and stablecoins that they can track and trace. So this is an ongoing issue, and it definitely is connected to the same network, the same cabal of people that were part of the Epstein activities.
Well, it starts with turning off the grocery stores, like I found at Woodman's here in Wisconsin. You know, if you can't get groceries and it requires you to get a different form of currency, they're going to push everyone into some kind of digital ID. Remember, was it ID 2020, which was Bill Gates' goal to give everyone a ID, whether it's digital or physical, so that they can be represented online. Because, you know, eventually this is going to all swoop into the interweb, right, the Internet of Things, where you're going to be required to have an ID just to get online, because then they can just cancel your account completely, and you'll have no access to the internet if you don't agree with whatever the next cool thing is. We saw that with the whole like convoy across Canada during COVID. Remember when they were raising money? Was it a GoFundMe? Got millions of dollars, and they just turned it off. Whatever happened to that money? I think the government confiscated it, you know. And it turns out that Bitcoin is just being used for shady stuff Epstein was doing. There's a in the Epstein files, by the way, to be on part. There is a allegations that was turned into the feds, and the feds followed up on it, that a girl claimed that Epstein could track what she was doing by using Bitcoin. That's how he would spy on her, she alleged, and is one of the victims that accused Epstein of wrongdoing. And I'm like, well, how could you use Bitcoin to track what you do, what you shop, what you buy, if it's supposed to be anonymous? And the truth is, we're finding out that it's really just a big honeypot at the end of the day, or at least that's what it became. And it's also really interesting.
Well, a lot of people falsely believe that Bitcoin was anonymous. I just want to make that clear. It's yeah. What people refer to as pseudonymous, right? So that was a big lie that was told to us. And obviously we know most people don't pay attention to the ongoing developments, but back in 2013, when Ross Ulbricht was arrested for the Silk Road, I was at the trial. I know you know about the case as well. And in that trial, it was made perfectly clear that they were able to track everything he was being done. So again, the whole idea of a anonymous cryptocurrency, it does exist in other projects, but it definitely was never Bitcoin. And so it wouldn't surprise me if Epstein had some of his victims using Bitcoin to, you know, make transactions or whatever, and that gave him another way to track them and use that as leverage over them.
Well, it would make sense, right? This way, you know, he knows everything they're doing, where they're going, what they're spending, how they're spending it. And, you know, it's also very interesting that the first purchase ever made with Bitcoin was for some pizza. I'm just throwing it out there. What a coincidence. When you start to think about things and the way things go down the rabbit hole. And if you don't believe me, 10,000 Bitcoin for the very first pizza. We're going to be going to break here. Derek Brose is our guest. We're going to be diving in the Finders Cult and his documentary series called Pyramid of Power. It is binge worthy. If you've not checked out Pyramid of Power, he has 17 now episodes. He's done a real good job on these episodes, and he dives in, he names the players, he gives the data, and he literally breaks down the different aspects of pyramids of power, whether it's the food industry, whether it's the banking industry, whether it's the Jeffrey Epstein style networks. Because let's be honest, when a drug dealer gets busted, people just don't stop buying marijuana or cocaine. They go to the next drug dealer. Well, now we're seeing P. Diddy. We're learning about Hollywood. We're learning about the debacle trickery in the music industry that we've been warned about for 50 years. We're learning about the ritualistic magic of having to let you know what they're going to do so you accept it before it happens. That being said, we'll be back. Check out Derek Brose and the Conscious Resistance. You're listening to The War Room. I'm Kristan T. Harris, filling in for the noble Harrison Smith.
CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is, scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell. And sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway. And a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this hazard put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your doc chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexandershore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexandershore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexandershore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexandershore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Kristan T. Harris. Watch it live right now at band.video.
For those who are just tuning in, Derek Broz is our guest from the Conscious Resistance, and he is one of the original people who blew the lid on the Finders cult, really after it was buried for so many years, people forgot about it. And I started getting interested in it again after interviewing multiple MKUltra survivors and learning about satanic ritual abuse, amongst other things. He also has a very interesting binge-worthy series called Pyramid of Power. And let's talk a little bit. For the listeners out there who have never heard of the Finders cult, what is the Finders cult and how did you get interested in this subject? Because it all kind of ties together. Oh, okay. It looks like we lost Derek Broz here. So Derek was really interested in looking into the Finders cult and diving into, what we were basically talking about when we start talking about, you know, trafficking of children, satanic ritual abuse, and the things that these women and men went through when they were children and how they were abused to become some form of like Manchurian candidate, where there was a group called the Finders, right? The Finders essentially were a group of individuals that had their area raided, and there was a law enforcement officer who detailed what looked like to be child abuse, including in interviews with the children's by the doctor. They agreed that it looked like these children were abused and that they essentially had some kind of trafficking ring going on. But the CIA stepped in and went ahead and pulled it from, existence and said, oh, there's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. And Derek investigated substantially and really, I think that he did a really good job in his series about the Finders cult. What are they hiding? And it's a very interesting subject altogether. Okay. And I think that what we have here with Derek Broz, make sure you check out his website, The Conscious Resistance, is our world has been really abducted by this programming culture. We've learned to accept everything that we've been told, and we become tribal about it. We start looking at the world around us. The people like me who originally thought, well, hell, it'd be great to not have our tips taxed. Hell, overtime. Let's not tax that. Well, release Ross Ulbricht. That's great. January 6ers, that's great. Oh, we got a little bit, but now, oh, surprise, New World Order. And that's where we're heading, where our government doesn't seem to be in charge of their own political viewpoints and what we do. I thought we voted in this president for the reasons of him not being a war candidate, that we wouldn't be intervening in all these different countries. Well, we got Venezuela. Now it's Iran. Who knows where else we're going? We're going to try to buy Greenland. At the end of the day, what we're looking at here is our government has been completely obliterated and integrated with MK Ultra style programmed individuals. When you start listening to the old Operation Northwoods videos where they talk about how many people are involved in the CIA that are propagandizing people overseas, you start to learn in the 60s and 70s during the Church Hill Committee what was really going on. And we got Derek Broz back with us. Derek Broz, we were just talking a little bit about the satanic ritual abuse, how we're being conditioned and on a global scale, not just like we talk a lot about MK Ultra, right? And the Finders cult and the organizations behind what was going on way back in the 60s and 70s. We can go into satanic ritual abuse, MK Ultra, and the government secretive programs that went on until 1984 and how they really impacted the culture we live in, because I don't think these programs really ended. I think that when you read these Epstein files and they're trying to identify these girls, he said younger the better. Well, that's because when you get them young, you can program them young. Let's dive into the Finders cult in your documentary. What really essentially got you involved? Because almost nobody was covering this anymore. People had forgotten about the Finders. And what I found it interesting that when you were releasing this documentary, all of a sudden the feds were starting to drop a bunch of information on the Finders cult. And I think it's your hard work that really forced the hand pan and go, oh, this is still there. Let's drop this.
I appreciate that. So, I mean, it pretty much went right off the back of bringing down Jeffrey Epstein. When I finished that documentary, as I mentioned, I was in Florida and I went to Jeffrey Epstein's house outside to film the opening scene of my documentary. And similar to Epstein, I had heard for years in various conspiracy research circles about this group called the Finders cult, something to do with some men and some children. I heard whispers about it, but I never looked closely at it. And I decided that I wanted to make it the focus of my next documentary series. And I learned that one of the former members of the Finders, his name's Robert Terrell, that he actually lived in Florida and near Tallahassee as well. And so I decided to stop there and interview him. And then I went home from that trip and I just dove even deeper into the Finders. And the more and more I learned, the more obvious it was to me that this was a group that was involved in child trafficking and a group that had connections to the CIA and to the Defense Intelligence Agency, and that it was covered up by the CIA. And I don't say that lightly because I know a lot of people throw around claims, but all of this is in documents. And that's what makes, I think, the Finders case even more disturbing, is that it's a documented case. It's all there. So the basic story, though, is that in February 1987, two well-dressed men were seen at a park in Tallahassee with six children who were described as disheveled, who had bug bites and who looked like they hadn't been fed and were dirty and all this sort of things. And some anonymous caller thought it was mysterious and decided to call the police. The police show up. They end up arresting the two men. And that basically sets off this national manhunt where the Tallahassee police, they arrest the men. They take the six children into custody. It starts making local news and then international news. You can find reports from the Associated Press, from Washington Post, New York Times talking about this in February 1987. And they start to investigate, who are these men? Why are these children traveling with them? The men claim that they were taking the children to a school for gifted children in Mexico. And in the van, as you can see on screen, the men had computers. Now, computers were around in 1987, of course, but not to the extent that these men seem to have. They essentially seem to be operating with early Ethernet cables and landlines. And when the arrest in Tallahassee happened, that sets off an international manhunt, really, because the police in D.C., the Washington, D.C. Metro Police, they called the police in Tallahassee and said, hey, we think that this case is related to a cult that we've been investigating called the Finders cult. This group was based in D.C. They had farms in Virginia. They had an apartment home in D.C. They had numerous different properties. They had a warehouse. And so once the Tallahassee arrest is made, the Washington Metro Police, they decide, you know what, we're going to go ahead. We're going to get a warrant. We're going to raid their warehouses. We're going to raid their apartments and everything. And this is where things get really creepy and really, you know, disturbing. The D.C. Metro Police, they decided to raid the warehouses. And the U.S. Customs Agency got involved as well because there was some suspicion that there had been, you know, international trafficking or cross-border trafficking. So customs got involved. So you had customs agent as well as police officers from the Washington Metro Police raiding the Finders warehouse. And you can find pictures, which we include in my documentary, of them walking out of the warehouse with bags of evidence. And basically, one of the customs agent, his name was Ramon Martinez, he said that when he went into there and helped them with the raid of the Finders warehouse, that there was pictures of naked children. There was instructions on purchasing children from China, that there was dictionaries on China, like how to speak Chinese. There was, as I said, technology that was not very common throughout the warehouse. They had multiple passports. There seemed to be an area where there was photographs being taken. All kinds of weird stuff was going down. And again, the Virginia State Police, they raided the Finders homes, the Finders farms based in Virginia. And this was after there was claims that neighbors had seen children in cages and had seen children taken away and heard them crying. And so for a couple of weeks, this is making national and international news. And of course, the headlines, they say it's a satanic cult. They say all kinds of different things. Now, I will say from my perspective, I think that the claims of satanic cult are the least credible in this specific situation. Absolutely, I do believe, and I've investigated other cases like the Utah ritual abuse scandal that's been happening for years with a man named David Hamblin, where there definitely seems to be clear evidence of the people doing the abuse at least believing that they're doing so for Satan or for Lucifer, things like that. But with the Finders case, it seems to be like those are, in my view, some of the weaker claims. There is some weird things, as you can see on screen. There was pictures of the children cutting off the heads of a goat, dismembering goats where the adults were in white robes. Now, according to the Finders members that I talked to, they said that this was just them showing children how to take care of their own, you know, their own diet, how to kill their own meat and process it and things like that. Because the Finders themselves claim to just be an eccentric group of former hippies who were living an alternative lifestyle and kind of like early homeschooling is sort of what they talk about. They said, you know, they would let the children roam free. They had their mom, but they also were taken care of by the group. And, you know, the women kind of would move between the men, things that some people would say are weird, but not illegal. That is their claim, that they were just an eccentric group of people and that the pictures of the children beheading the goats and the children holding the head of the goat, that that was just, you know, them teaching them how to learn some primitive life skills, you could say. Now, depending on whether you believe that or not, it's up to you. But other than that, the only other claims or potential evidence of them being satanic was that there was a fire pit found with a circle of stones. I don't think that's very strong. But what is strong and is without a doubt is that in the initial police report, the Tallahassee police report, which we're showing on screen right there, that original medical examiner, he said that he found signs of sexual abuse of two of the children. One of them was a boy. One of them was a girl. He said that the girl had shown signs of vaginal penetration. This is a 6-year-old girl, 7-year-old boy, and that the boy had loss of, quote, anal sphincter control, which they believe was a sign of sodomy. That was the first initial report from the medical examiner. And then within 48 hours, for whatever reason, they got another medical examiner to examine the children. And the second medical examiner claimed, whoops, the first one just made a mistake, made some things up. None of that stuff is true. Forget those initial claims. That's all hogwash. It's all garbage. And within a couple of weeks, the entire case goes from headlines of satanic child trafficking cult with connections to the CIA to, sorry, we made a mistake. There's nothing to see here. And that was essentially, that's the official version of the Finders. If you were to go to Vice News or look up Wikipedia, it would tell you this, what I just shared with you, that in the end, the men were let go. There was nothing to see here. That's it. That's the mainstream version of event. But thankfully, Ramon Martinez, the customs agent, he never let go of this story. He continued to try to raise awareness. And then in 1993, there was some articles about it. There was actually a couple of representatives. I think his name was Charlie Rose and another gentleman. I can't remember his name. These two officials that were listening to Ramon Martinez and said, hey, we believe there was a cover-up with this Finders case. And so in 1993, the Department of Justice, again, this is making mainstream news, the Department of Justice actually said, we're going to investigate the case to see if there was a cover-up by the CIA or any other intelligence agency. Well, as typical, they did their own investigation, they investigated themselves, and they said nothing to see here. And that was the official end of the Finders story, that they said, okay, well, we looked into it, nothing to see here. But as you mentioned, Kristen, I continued to look into this. I actually tracked down former members of the Finders, Robert Terrell. I actually tracked down Ramon Martinez, the customs agent, who said that there was a cover-up going on. And he specifically said that when he went back to the Metro Police Department to try to view the evidence that they had collected in the warehouse, that he was told that it had become a CIA matter and that had been taken over. And then there was another officer within the Metro Police. His name was Sergeant John Stitcher, as well as Sergeant Scott Hunt is another officer. Both of them claimed that there was a cover-up going on. Sergeant John Stitcher died fairly young, allegedly of a heart attack. Scott Hunt, I have not been able to find him, but both of those men claim that there was a cover-up going on in the Tallahassee Police Department and in the Metro Police Department. And so when I finally was able to find Ramon Martinez, and I contacted him, as you can see, those are my emails with him right there, he initially agreed to talk to me. He said no camera, no recordings, because he said that he had journalists come interview him over the years and that nothing had come of it. And so he wasn't very optimistic about it, but he did agree to talk with me. And then unfortunately, within 24 hours of him agreeing to talk to me, he basically emailed back and said, never mind, I'm not going to, you know, be used as a pawn in somebody's game. I don't know what exactly he thought was going on, but he basically said, never mind, I'm not going to speak to you. I found out where he lived today in current time as a retired agent. I found out that he teaches Tai Chi at a retirement center. And I went on a little stakeout. I flew across the country to go try to meet with him. I met him in person. Unfortunately, whenever I went up to him and said, "Hey, Mr. Martinez, this is Derek Brose. I'm the journalist you talked to." You know, he said, "F you, get away from me. I don't want to have anything to do with you." And he has since this time refused to talk to me. He's spoken to a few other investigator friends of mine, but he refuses to come out publicly and on the record. But what he did tell me was, he said, and I quote, "I have no hope that anybody I know who is involved in this will ever be held accountable." So he still stands by his story that there was a cover-up with the Finders case. And as you can see on screen for those who are watching, that is Robert Terrell. He was the Finders' right-hand man. He literally said that he shared a toothbrush for 25 years with the founder of the Finders. The founder of the Finders was a man named Marion Petty. Marion Petty, his son used to work for the CIA's Air America. His wife worked for the CIA, and he comes out of naval intelligence. And he claimed that he used to be a chauffeur for all the biggest World War II generals and all this sort of stuff. But he claimed that he retired and then later on went and founded the Finders, and that there's no connection. But the more you look into the Finders, you just keep finding these different intelligence connections. You keep finding evidence of a cover-up. And, you know, I like, as you said, Kristan, I released this documentary in 2019. By October 2019, all of a sudden the FBI just decides to start releasing new Finders files, and they've done four documents. If you go to the FBI's Vault website and you search the Finders, you can find those four document dumps. I've also done deep dives on all of them at theconsciousresistance.com. And as part of my Pyramid of Power documentary series, I sort of did an addendum, a little bit of an update on it, because when I first released the series, as I said, I didn't know everything I know now. The series came out, it went fairly viral, then the FBI starts releasing new files, and then I actually interviewed Robert Terrell, again, the right-hand man of the Founders Finder, who was coming from intelligence. And I went and interviewed him after the fact, and he was very unhappy. He did not like my documentary. He thought that I, you know, am just a crazy conspiracy theorist and there's something wrong with you. I don't know why you're looking for all these theories. But I confronted him on the fact that the medical examiner report says there was abuse by children. I confronted him on the fact that Ramon Martinez said that it was covered up by the CIA. And I also confronted him on the fact that there is a report that we have in these document dumps. It's redacted who wrote it, but it clearly came from the Washington Metro Police, and it's a final summary. And whoever wrote this final summary clearly says that it is their belief that the Finders were connected to the CIA, and that according to their master plan, which has never been released publicly, the Finders were not going to disband. Instead, they would scatter to the winds. They would rename themselves and kind of reorganize. And so it is my belief that the Finders cult, which again, they, you know, may or may not have referred to themselves as that. That's just the name they became known for because they collected Finders fees. They claim that they were just eccentric people, former journalists, investigators who were good at finding information, but they claim they had nothing to do with trafficking, nothing to do with satanic abuse, nothing to do with intelligence agencies. I think there's clear evidence that there was connections there, but the Finders cult themselves, they still dismiss that all of this is just conspiracy theory. But when I confronted Robert Terrell with this and I showed him the report and I said, "Well, why does this police document say you guys had connections to the intelligence agency? Why does this medical examiner report say there was abuse of the children?" He just dismissed it all. I think it was part of the cover up. He specifically said, "Well, that was the first report, but the second report found that there was no child abuse." And he already knew.
He knew about it.
He knew about it. Absolutely. He knew that there was a second report. And then he mentions Ramon Martinez. He's like, "Oh, that guy lost his job because he was, not credible and this and that." Because basically after Ramon Martinez refused to shut up in 1987 and 1993, they destroyed his career. They ran him out of the customs agency. He was, basically blackballed. One of the people I spoke to said that he was known for sticking his noses in places that didn't belong. So it's like the story was already created for the Finders to then say, "Oh, that medical examiner report's fake. Oh, that guy, he has no credibility. This is all just conspiracy theorists online." But as I said, it is one of the most heavily documented and police documents and government documents cases where we can clearly see the signs of intelligence. And there's so much more that I could go into. I do encourage people to check out my full documentary. It's called Who Will Find What the Finders Hide. You can find it at theconsciousresistance.com if you just go to my documentaries tab. And then, of course, in chapter 15 of the Pyramid of Power, I do have sort of a second part. That's the one right there, the Who Will Find What the Finders Hide addendum. That's sort of a second part where I do go interview Robert Terrell again. I encourage you to look into those things and go follow all of my reports. I have a whole section on my website that really goes much, much deeper than we have time for today.
Yeah, Derek, absolutely. Yeah, a couple of things I want to comment on here. You know, it's funny you mentioned New Mexico because isn't that where the Zorro Ranch was? And I know that Jeffrey Epstein bought the Zorro Ranch from Bruce King in 1993. Those dates are very interesting to me that the 1993 was like the staple of the blow, like the lid being blown off of the finders cult entirely and that they could no longer maybe run the organization. And all of a sudden, these kids that were going to go to this camp for sensational and great, you know, children who are the leaders of the future per se, because that's what Epstein's camp was in Zorro Ranch. They'd fly into kids there, right? So who knows? I'm not saying that they're linked. I'm just saying what kind of coincidence is it that the year that everything was getting snuffed out, Bruce King, former governor of New Mexico, sold the ranch to Jeffrey Epstein, and it was used for exactly what the finders or what the reports were saying, you know, for children to be educated per se. We don't know entirely what went on in Zorro's ranch, but I know that as a person who sat the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, a lot of the abuse and the conditioning and I still call it ritual abuse. Maybe it's not satanic ritual abuse, but the children being beat up, they're having bug bites. Looking malnourished. It's all ritual abuse. It might not be Satan at the head, but at the end, it's evil. Sure. It's what they're doing to program them like MKUltra.
Yeah, two more points I want to make before we go to this break here about the finders, because just another little tidbit that some people might find interesting, because we have the address of the finders warehouse in DC, and it is within minutes of where Comet Ping Pong was at, just for anybody who thinks that matters or is interesting. And we know that there's tunnel systems through DC and stuff like that. So there's definitely, I think, a lot of threads that haven't been pulled there. One other one I'll mention real briefly as it relates to the Epstein files, because I've been for years wondering if there is some direct connection between what was the finders and Marion Petty and then to what the Epstein network that we know, because, you know, we know Epstein was active in the 90s. And with the recent release of the finder of the Epstein documents, I started searching the finders and Marion Petty and sort of key terms to try to see if there was any connection. And I recently covered this on my website, but I'll just share it here briefly. There's a gentleman named Jeffrey Martin who is kind of connected to this human potential movement. He was connected to Deepak Chopra and others like that, you know, in this sort of spiritual new age type space. And Jeffrey Martin was emailing Jeffrey Epstein, and Jeffrey Martin, he runs this program that he calls The Finders, that he says it will help seekers find. And there's no direct connection to the Finders cult as far as we know. But when I searched The Finders and I found his emails, I started digging further into this gentleman, and he was definitely emailing Jeffrey Epstein. They were setting up meetings to each other. Again, he was in group emails with Deepak Chopra and others, and they were going, him and Epstein clearly were trying to meet up to discuss something and going back and forth. And for whatever reason, this gentleman, Jeffrey Martin, chose to call his sort of leadership program The Finders. And if you look up that, just those terms, The Finders and Jeffrey Martin, you'll see who he is. I'd never heard of him before. This is a thread that I'm still pulling on, and I'll share this for the first time. I've actually been emailed by a former associate of him since I put out that video, who has started to give me some more background information. And he personally said that he has always had suspicions of Jeffrey Martin. Again, I'm not accusing Jeffrey Martin of anything. Yep. There's nothing proven at the moment, but he is one of these people, like many people, because he's not a celebrity, nobody really knows who he is. So as far as I've seen, he hasn't put out a public statement about, hey, this was my relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. He's sort of just staying below the radar because nobody is really aware of who he was, but he definitely ran in these circles of the kind of spiritual new age type people. And for weeks, if months, he was emailing Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein was on the Finders email list that he ran, and they were clearly talking about meeting up. There's definitely several things in the emails that are redacted. So we don't have the full details on that. And I don't know if it is a direct connection to the old original Finders cult or just some coincidence that he chose to use that name, but it's a thread that I'm pulling on for sure.
I don't know if I believe in coincidence, Derek, on this subject, but that's why I wanted to bring it up. My spidey senses were tingling, and that's why I'm glad I got you on the broadcast today. Let our listeners know where they can find out more about you. Thank you for joining us today, and just let them know how they can reach you if they want to get you on their program as well.
I appreciate that, brother. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. My main website is theconsciousresistance.com. That's where you can find my podcast, documentaries, books, etc. If you want to learn more about the Pyramid of Power, the website is thepyramidofpower.net, 17-part documentary series showing you who runs the world and, most importantly, solutions, thepyramidofpower.net. And you can find my articles at thelastamericanvagabond.com. Thank you so much for having me on, Kristan.
No problem, Derek Rose. Derek Rose is our guest on Kristan Harris. Check out therundownlive.com. Find me on Spotify, band.video. Until we meet again, I'm Kristan T. Harris.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the Globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running till the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
From high-level White House sources, and I confirmed with others that were there, that they said, we don't want accomplices. This wasn't Trump. I mean, people at the White House heard this when they were having DOJ meetings. We're going with the lone gunman. We're not really going after the accomplices, because Trump had said, I want the Trantifa. I want the six trannies that said, Charlie be dead tomorrow. I want them SWAT teamed. I want them arrested. And the word went out, no, we're not doing what the big guy wants as usual. We're going with this story and that. And then 2 days after I came out with that, Kash Patel comes out and says, oh, no, we're looking at all the angles, and we're looking at multiple shooters. And Dan Bongino, I sent you guys the clip. I didn't see it on my list. It's like a 15-minute clip. Pull that up for me. I'll send it again if you don't have it. I shouldn't see it on my list. Or just go to X and type in. Bongino says they're looking at the crowd helping the shooter. Well, you say you want a conspiracy. Yeah. They're like, yay, yay, cheering. They're not scared when it happens. Two people say they killed him and said we did it as a diversion for the shooter. Yeah, there's your conspiracy right there. And it's crickets on that. Absolute, total, and complete crickets. So, yeah. It doesn't look like a cover-up. It is a cover-up. A cover-up of what? I'm not exactly sure. And maybe it was Netanyahu. If we find out, we'll report it. I had White House sources saying Kash Patel had a meeting and said, don't look at domestic help, which we knew he had. They were all bragging about he'll be dead tomorrow. And said, see, we told you. And foreign connections. So we have been looking at this from the very beginning. We broke that Patel did that, and a month after I broke that, it came out mainstream news, and Patel admitted, yeah, I don't want Tulsi Gabbard involved. I don't want to look at her intelligence. And now you have all these CIA people and Delta Force and FBI coming out blowing the whistle that they believe there was domestic help and all this. So I believe there's bad actors here. I believe we're being lied to. In fact, I know we are. I told you back in September when I was told by a individual in the cabinet meeting in the White House, not a public cabinet meeting, but a cabinet meeting, a real cabinet meeting, not a press event. That Kash Patel went in there and screamed at Tulsi Gabbard, and the vice president was there, and said, you're trying to investigate foreign involvement in Charlie Kirk's killing and domestic. We're not looking at any of it. This is a week and a half after Charlie Kirk's murder. Meanwhile, Kash Patel, when I broke all this, remember I broke it on the 25th of September, kind of said, oh, we're looking at everything. Don't worry. But now it's been released by the Patriots because I guess they thought giving it to me would get it out there, but sure, the audience heard it, but whatever. Now it's all over the news.
I've got to get 10 different assumptions to make this gunshot work. And maybe, right, Alex? In the universe of worlds, maybe the jackpot Powerball got hit and all of those things happened. And that's what led to this 30-06 round not passing through his neck. If you want to believe that, and I know some people do, that's fine. But I'm sorry, it's not.
I don't know anybody wants to believe this now, but the FBI. But I was told 2 days before Patel came out and said, we're looking at everything, all the angles, helpers, hand signs. I was told from inside the White House, no, they're going with lone gunmen. They're not even looking at the Trantifa saying he'll be dead tomorrow. So I was told by very credible people there's a cover-up. And I don't say that with pleasure. Piece of intel. I got a call Thursday, and I didn't sit on it. I just was mulling it until Saturday, and then I made some other calls to another well-known individual, and they said the same thing. They were told, no, they're going with lone gunmen, and they're shutting down everything, and not even looking into the Trantifa that said he'd be dead the next day. So they're not even going after them because they want this story. Why would you do that if you weren't covering up?
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and at AJN Live.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue, 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 blue. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up about it. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Throughout Los Angeles, especially during protests, there are hundreds of petition circulators and activists canvassing on the street to gather thousands of signatures for various petitions with the objective of getting them onto the voting ballot.
We have 13 different statewide petitions. Each one is for a different cause.
Now, which organization are you with?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I don't know. I don't know what organization I'm with. I have to give them a call.
It says we the
Populous. Populous.
Populous Inc. is a branch of CO Management Solutions, a campaign consulting firm dedicated to helping important issues make it to the ballot. These political consulting firms receive multi-million dollar contracts from big businesses such as Uber or Delta Airlines to employ petition circulators and pay them to gather signatures on specific petitions that would benefit their business. These petition circulators calculators are paid per signature, and they're paid surprisingly well.
$7 a signature, $7 a signature, $5 a signature, $4 a signature.
Okay, I got you.
$10 a signature, $10 a signature.
That's pretty good money right there.
That's very good money.
That's big money.
That is like,
and,
yes.
And how much money, like, would you make on it?
I make?
Yeah.
I try to make over $1,000 a day.
That's a lot of money. Not only did we find these petitions being pushed on protesters outside City Hall, but we also found them being promoted to the homeless in the depths of Skid Row. So my team and I dressed up as homeless people and went undercover. Before heading out there, I had to get in character.
They're not the pigeon, I'm the pigeon.
We walked a few blocks through Skid Row, past the intersection of San Pedro and 6th Street, and almost immediately, to our surprise, we found petitioners who were actually offering homeless people money in exchange for signatures on the ballot petitions. $2 to be exact, in exchange for their signatures.
You got a light, bro? I need a cigarette. You want a cigarette? Bro, you want a cigarette?
Notice the $20 bill pinned to this man's shirt. This is a signal to all nearby homeless people that he is a source of the money. Paying citizens to sign petitions is a violation of California Elections Code 18603, which states, quote, every person who offers or gives money or other valuable consideration to another in exchange for his or her signature on a state, county, municipal, or district initiative, referendum, or recall petition is guilty of a misdemeanor.
One cigarette?
Well, just, I just need one signature right here, you get two cigarettes.
But it wasn't just cash that we saw exchanged for signatures. We also saw the homeless being bribed with cigarettes and even drugs, marijuana. And all of that is considered valuable consideration. And according to the petitioner that we spoke with earlier, it would be a crime just to give out water to anyone who is signing petitions.
Now, you don't give people money to sign it.
No, that's illegal.
Oh, that's illegal.
I can't even hand out water.
Really? Mm-hmm. You can't even hand out water? It's very hot in Los Angeles.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's like voter ID. Or no, not voter ID. It's voter fraud, they will call it.
Voter fraud?
Yeah, you're basically enticing somebody. Hey, if you sign all these, I'll give you a free water.
Our undercover journalist continued to engage with this group in Skid Row and found the majority of homeless people who were being paid to sign, as you might expect, didn't even know what it was they were signing.
What are we doing?
$3 petitions. You sign 9 papers, what's your signature,
and what is
date,
it?
Address, and then after 9, they're going to give you an additional one more sign. After that one more, you get $3.
But what is that petition for?
You know? There's a petition for.
They were also encouraging the homeless to just make up random addresses, such as Pinocchio Lane.
Where do I put it in my address?
Oh, good.
This woman named Brenda Brown acknowledges that if the person signing isn't a registered voter, she won't get paid $7 for the signature.
Is this additional money?
No, because you haven't registered, I need to register you so I can get paid too.
Brenda Brown also has a stack of voter registration forms so she can get the homeless people to first register to vote.
Okay, you guys, I need to get paid.
The petitioner, Brenda Brown, then hands cash money to the homeless person, not only for signing the California ballot initiative, but also as payment for them to register to vote. That is a federal felony, 52 U.S.C. 10307. Whoever knowingly or willfully pays or offers to pay or accepts payment for registration to vote shall be fined not more than $10,000 and imprisoned not more than 5 years. You can pay workers to circulate petitions, but you cannot give someone cash money to make them register to vote. You can actually see in the hands of the fraudster a copy of the California voter registration card. And this didn't just happen once. It happened over and over and over and over again. We witnessed it 28 times on video. We spoke to a nearby homeless person who claims the petitioners are scheming and seems to be very aware that they're taking advantage of the homeless population's desperation.
They scheme, man. I don't like it. See, I don't care. I turn their ass in because I don't like this. I mean, we out here poor as fuck. Y'all work, you get paid for doing it. And even if you got weed, somebody that like weed, they keep it all of them. They get none of weed out here. Damn, man, I can buy my own weed.
One of our journalists must have asked one too many questions because eventually the petitioner threatened to, quote, move him down the street and proceeded to follow, threatening to, quote, beat his ass.
I don't have a California address.
Find somebody, one of your homies or something. That guy wants to bring them to us.
If I bring them to you, then I could get a cigarette too, though?
It really irritates
me. But why are you so fucking hostile,
bro? This is my petition. This is my petition. This is not even here. You asking the wrong nigga. This is my shit. So you asking the wrong nigga anyway, so you
so if I just start new, I come back and I just tell you.
Go down the street, bro, before we move you down the street.
Yeah, it's really like that, bro.
I knock you out looking right at me.
Bro, why are you trying to be like that, bro? I just want a cigarette.
Man, won't knock your ass out. Bitch ass nigga, don't come over here again. I'm gonna beat your ass.
Previously, in 2019, 9 individuals were prosecuted by the Los Angeles DA for this exact crime. They were exchanging cigarettes and cash for petition signatures, but none of it was on video, and it wasn't captured to this extent. There were 14 counts, primarily focused around payment for signatures, a violation of that California Elections Code 18603, claiming they had, quote, offered or gave money or other valuable consideration to another in exchange for his or her signature. So we found it particularly ironic that 2 police officers sitting nearby weren't even aware that this was a state or federal crime. Instead, Officer Maravilla of the LAPD dismissed it as a, quote, civil lawsuit.
Do you know a lot of these people here that are making homeless sign petitions and paying cash for it?
I haven't seen them. I mean, I've seen when they signed some type of paperwork, but I didn't know what they were doing. And I saw them at that, right here at the light over here in the back.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what it was for. Like, maybe like 2 weeks ago I saw them signing for something, but I didn't know if they were getting, like, money in exchange.
Yeah, I think they're getting like $2-3 from what I observe. Yeah. Is that legal?
I mean, if it's non-profit, I mean, they're signing it. It's a consensual. It's more of a civil thing. You know, like, they're not telling them no, and maybe if they promise them something and they don't get it, it would be like a civil lawsuit kind of thing.
The law enforcement officers sitting nearby on Skid Row every single day don't know the California laws and plead ignorance. It begs the question, what are they even doing? And directly across the street from all of this is a homeless shelter called the Weingard Center, a, quote, comprehensive human services organization committed to removing barriers that keep people from housing. The 990 tax return shows the Weingard Center received $112 million through various grants in 2022, their latest public return, and that they have over $800 million in net assets. Weingard Center also pays their executives between $400,000 and $600,000 a year. Weingard has been missing their audit deadlines by an alarmingly large and increasing margin, 21 months late last year, with 8 negative findings. An article in LAist states that one of LA's biggest homeless service providers has been awarded over $100 million in taxpayer funds while failing to comply with federal audit mandates. The audits show multiple failures by Weingard Center to properly account for taxpayer money that were not remedied from 1 year to the next. One of Weingard's primary funding sources is LASA, the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority. We couldn't help but wonder, what would people that work for LASA say about this voter fraud in Skid Row when directly asked? We attended this special commission meeting to find out.
Do you work for LASA? I do.
We spoke to Kathy Linga, who says she's seen the people petitioning for money and teaches the prospective fraudster on how to use plausible deniability and to practice ignorance of the law as an excuse.
I was like, thinking I want to get his little cash right away. They were giving out cash for him to sign petitions.
Okay. So let me just have you meet Brian.
That'd be great.
He can't help you. Then go to the next, go to Skid Row and see if there's people out there with clipboards.
With clipboards, and see if they would give him the cash for the petition.
Yes.
And do you think that's okay? I don't want him to get in trouble, though. Do you think it's okay for him to sign?
Do you think we don't even, if they, see, they say ignorance is not excuse for the law. But don't I have to say I didn't know? I had no idea.
Yeah.
How would I know? I don't have a TV. I don't have a home. My cell phone only works half the time. How would I know? And I can't afford a lawyer to ask.
Oh, that would be what he should say.
Somebody's offering money in the Uber.
Another WineGuard employee, intake coordinator Jason Warren, tells our undercover journalist exactly where and when to find the petitioners who are breaking the law.
I wanted to see if we can get where the petitions that are being signed to get cash so he can get some couple of dollars. Do you know where they are located?
I don't know where those is at. Most times they be outside in the front, or you got to go to the GR building where those at. The GR is going to be on third place in Alameda.
What is GR?
GR is General Relief. Most of them be right across the street under that tree. You can check with them Monday through Friday.
Warren also claims the petitioners have to gather a certain amount of signatures and then provide proof to show that they aren't stealing the money, which is apparently provided to them by a higher authority, according to Jason Warren.
But I don't want him to get into any trouble or anything. Is that okay for him to accept cash for signing the
petition? Yeah, it's okay because they're not going to go through his stuff or his stuff. They just want to sign him up to get a name. When they give the money up, they got to go back and tally up if they're stealing the money or not, so they got to have signatures.
Oh, got it. Because they give him money to get signatures.
Yeah.
But they have to come back with a certain amount.
They got to come back to them, because if you come back and your money don't add up to your signature, then they got to come out your pocket.
Got it. Mm-hmm. So do they also provide, do you know if they provide the money that they're handing out?
Yeah, they
the company
that's what they
We also spoke to an employee from First to Serve, a nonprofit homeless housing operator. His name is Tyson, and he openly acknowledges the existence of this fraudulent petitioning scheme and demonstrates it's an open secret.
What agency are you with? Go ahead.
Oh, First to Serve.
So do you just help people hook up?
Yeah, I work at a site, a homeless shelter site.
You know, we all need a little cash, and I was trying to find, you know, those petitioners that are paying for signatures.
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah.
You do? And what do you know? Do you know where they hang out so that I can go to them? I want to get some cash.
I already know the petitioners at. They be all over.
As our undercovers continue to engage with the petition circulators, we found that most of them aren't even registered with an official campaign. Brenda openly refers to it as a pyramid game.
You can work with me because I do need help. I do go to different places. When I come down here, I have to give them money to encourage them, just to encourage them. You selling your signatures to them, so you're your own boss.
Yeah, but I want to know who the them are, because I want to make sure that I'm in the right side. You know what I mean?
Okay, so it's like a pyramid game. If I were to hire you, you would be under me.
Yes.
I'm under my son. I'm under him, and you're under me. I would be paying you something right now, like cash. Like, you've seen some people working with me.
Yeah.
They work with me. I give them, like, $60 right up front when they got through work. So that's how I'm doing my people right now.
When I tell you I'm in, I'm all in. But I need to know who I'm in with.
Okay. Me.
I need to know that company.
You can't.
Hey, darling.
You can't. Because you know why you can't? It's not your work. You can't know that. You can't know that.
Gotcha.
Because she signs the work, so she only knows that.
And really, I don't need you. You need me. I don't need you.
The petitioner says the homeless person needs them because the homeless person needs money, emphasizing the desperation they're taking advantage of. And these predator fraudsters operating in broad daylight in a criminal conspiracy are taking advantage of a fundamental American right to vote. And when this is abused, it is a gateway to overturning democratic elections.
We have a petition
to impeach Donald Trump?
And everybody asked me that, too. They asked me that, and they asked me here, and they asked me all the stories. That's one of the main things.
You would think that the people working in these institutions would record or at least talk about the fraud that they witnessed and that we witnessed. But instead, the people working in the homeless institutions started to record us.
That you on camera?
Who are you?
Why are you telling me?
Why are you filming us?
Who are you?
Who are you?
Who are you with?
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 I'm
with the LAPD.
I'm sorry?
I'm with the LAPD.
You're with the Los Angeles Police?
Yeah.
Thank you for some identification.
Yeah.
Thank you for
identification. Yeah. Can I see yours?
This man first falsely identified with the LAPD in order to intimidate me. Under California law, pretending to be a police officer is a misdemeanor. That's California Penal Code 53-8D. When I informed the man that this was a crime, he quickly backed down and revealed the truth.
You know it's a crime to say you're the police or you're not.
So tell me, why did you say that you're in the police? Why did you lie?
Who's lying?
You just said that you were the LAPD.
No, I'm not with the LAPD.
Well, that's what you just said 2 minutes ago.
I'm with the LAPD.
Who are you with?
I'm with the Homeless Outreach.
What organization?
LASA.
What is it called?
LASA.
He reveals that he's with LASA. That's right, the same LASA, the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority. What's interesting about that is that LASA is the organization which provides an overwhelming majority of the funding that Weingart Center receives. And LASA is the organization that Weingart has been failing to deliver their audits to. We found it so alarming that people working for these institutions made an effort to intimidate us out of exposing the fraud that is occurring right on their front doorstep. Back at City Hall, we took a closer look at some of these petitions and found that they were pushing some rather deceptive and predatory measures, including a push for a one-time wealth tax on the wealthy, billionaires, being pushed by Suzanne Jimenez, the chief of staff for the United Healthcare Workers of the West.
We have one that taxes billionaires 5%.
So 5% tax on billionaires?
One-time tax, 5%, and that's going to go towards healthcare and food service, our food system.
And should we tax the billionaires more, or will they just leave the state?
We should tax them.
To tax them.
Tax the billionaires.
How much fraud is there in the state of California? Order of magnitude.
I have millions, hundreds of millions, I can imagine.
So should we tax the billionaires or get rid of the fraud?
Both.
The billionaires say they're going to leave the state.
But it's impossible to stop fraud. Would have been happening, right? Don't you think?
I guess that's a question about human nature. What are we smoking?
We smoking good cannabis from California.
California cannabis?
California cannabis. They put a lot of taxes on it. I don't know why.
Another petition that caught our attention was sponsored by Delta Airlines, United Airlines, and American Hotel and Lodging Association.
Top funders, Delta, United, American Hotel. Is this who's funding this?
That's who's funding that specific petition.
Okay.
So each petition is funded by somebody else.
So these are the petitioners, and we want to get the signatures as the protesters come into it. We wish a lot of people.
The city of L.A. recently raised the minimum wage for airline and hotel workers to $30 an hour, with a raised standard for health benefits by 2028 in anticipation of the 2026 World Cup and the 2028 Summer Olympics. In response, this particular petition that I'm holding seeks to overturn that. This explains why companies like Delta and United would pay millions to circulate such a petition.
And we get paid $4 to $7 per signature. That's a lot of money.
It is.
That's really good money.
Yep.
That's great money.
That's why it's like, you know, I make really good money. I get to push things that I believe in.
Yeah.
So. As this man told me he gets to, quote, push things that he believes in, I couldn't help but wonder if he was aware that the petition I was currently holding was an endeavor to lower minimum wage for hotel workers who are about to be slammed by the World Cup and Summer Olympics. We found that the validity of the signatures had been contested with allegations that signature gatherers had, quote, egregious misrepresentation of the content and effect of the referendum petition. Even stating that referendum circulators have, quote, repeatedly misrepresented the voters, they're signing a referendum to increase the minimum wage, the very opposite of what the referendum would do. We even found some people commenting on social media backing up this accusation. One comment read, two separate petitioners lied about their petition said. One of them said, we're trying to get a vote on raising the minimum wage. The second guy said, we're trying to vote to allow the hotel workers $30 an hour. But the petition is for a vote on overturning the already approved raised minimum wage. I even read it to the second guy word for word, and he tried to disagree with what was on his own petition. Misrepresenting the contents of a ballot petition is a violation of another California Elections Code law, 18600, which states every person is guilty of a misdemeanor who willfully and knowingly circulates, publishes, or exhibits any false statement or misrepresentation concerning the contents, purport, or effect of any state, local initiative, or recall petition. We also found a petition funded by Uber to, quote, raise the burden of proof for injury victims and limit the amounts they may recover.
And Uber is also behind this, too, a little bit. Yeah.
Uber is behind the car accident victims for lawyers.
Car accident victim for lawyers,
so
yeah.
Basically making sure that if you're involved in a car accident, you take home 75% of what the court says you're supposed to.
But notice that this petition circulator, who is paid per signature, neglects to mention that the petition endeavors to limit the medical expenses that victims of automobile accidents may recover and raise their burden of proof. He instead focuses on the claim that the victims would retain 75% of their settlement, a settlement that likely wouldn't even fully cover their medical expenses were this ballot to go through in Uber's favor. According to an article by the publication City Watch, a more affordable California receives its funding from Uber Technologies Incorporated, Initiative 2500-22A1. The so-called Protecting Automobile Accident Victims from Attorney Self-Dealing Act is simply an end play by Uber to preserve its profits by significantly reducing its exposure when their autonomous vehicles injure Californians by deliberately diverting attention away from their own safety obligations.
How much are you going to pay him?
I'm giving him $2 right now for whatever he gave me.
$2?
Yeah.
And but how many signatures is he signing?
He's doing as many as I give him.
And it's $2.
Well, I'm giving him $2.
And here you see that Brenda has the next petition ready, which makes Uber less liable for car accident injuries, all being signed without a second thought by someone who doesn't know or care what the content of the petition is or what they're signing, all because they're given cash.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades. So they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research. The human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer, but they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this. But the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect. But it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
How many of the signatures that you guys gather are paid for with cigarettes?
Don't touch his camera.
Do not touch his camera.
All you got to do is just say money for a signature.
Money for a signature.
You can lie. Say this is to build more homeless shelters.
Oh, just make up some bullshit.
Yeah.
There's this table here where they are giving cigarettes in exchange for signatures on ballot initiatives, which is a very serious crime.
We're going to be referring this matter to law enforcement.
Who cares? Do it.
Put that camera on my feet.
In California, potential laws can be put on the ballot through something called a ballot petition. Campaigns hire petition circulators to go out and collect signatures from registered voters. If they collect enough signatures, that law gets placed on the ballot for everyone to vote on. Under California law, it is illegal to give anyone money or something of value in exchange for their signature. Here in Los Angeles, we uncovered a massive scandal surrounding these petitions. Over the course of our investigation, we discovered a suspected international election criminal. We exposed that many of the signatures used to put new laws on the ballot may have been gathered fraudulently. And we reveal how criminals are profiting while undermining California's electoral process. Our story begins here on Skid Row, where petition fraud can be seen in broad daylight.
Ask this guy about the signature.
$4. Signature? $4.
Oh, signature, $4 here.
You got it. Four signatures, $4 for four different petitions.
Well, what is it? What do you have to do? You get money here?
Sign it, $4.
Oh, so you sign it and then you get money.
Sign it and print your name, sign your name, and put your address.
Do I have to give a real name or?
I didn't ask me what I did, so you didn't give me any fucking name.
So you didn't give me
my real name.
They want a paperwork, you give me fake.
They give you the money. Didn't ask you for ID, man.
Oh, easy money, huh? So I'm sorry, what do we got to do here?
Just sign. It's for billionaire tax.
And then what did we get?
$2.
Per signature?
$2, no, $1 a signature.
Is it your business or are you working for somebody else?
I'm working for somebody else.
Could I get your boss's information? Could I get a job or something?
Look, if you sign mine, I give you the contact to the boss.
Meet Prince Clay. He is one of the many petition circulators that we found operating on Skid Row.
You'll give me the contact to the boss?
The boss.
You can't just do me a solid?
Well, here. I get $1.
For what?
You can meet me in the middle.
No, but what I'm saying.
You want, cigarettes?
How's this? How about I
use another fake name?
How about I pay you and you give me your boss's name so I can get a job, bro?
Look, that's not how this works. Look, everybody that does this is felons.
Wait, everybody that does this is what?
It's felons.
Everybody that's collecting the signatures is a felon.
Felons. They're homeless people. It don't matter.
But if you're giving me $1, you got to be getting like $5.
I'm getting $20
per signature.
Yes, sir.
Holy shit!
I'll be honest with you. Yeah.
Let me work for you, dog. What's your contact info? I'll be out here tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Put your phone. Put your number on my phone.
Damn. I got to learn how to make money like you, man.
Yeah, I got you, bro. I got you.
You're going to be out here tomorrow?
Yep. 3:30 to 6.
Appreciate you so much,
yes,
dog.
Sir. I'm going to text you. I'm going to be waiting.
My name's Anthony, all right? I'm going to send you a text.
Yep. All right.
Damn, that's crazy. So you make enough money doing this to afford this Tesla?
Yeah, fortunately, yes. Okay, good. So look. All you got to get is a first and last name, signature. Tell them any L.A. address with the city in the zip.
Any address. Doesn't matter.
It's got to be L.A. County.
But they can make it up. It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, they can make it up. But if you can't, if I can't read it, I can't pay you.
Got it.
So got to be telling me. Got to be me.
What about the name? Do we got to check an ID or anything? Or
no. Just as long as it's me and it's a first and last name.
What if they write some bullshit though? It doesn't matter.
Nah, if they write some bullshit, you gotta scratch that out.
No, I'm saying, what if they just make up a name?
Like, yeah, make up a name.
How much do you pay them for the signature?
$1.
I give them like $1.
I give them $1.
Okay.
Or sometimes with the pizza.
What works the best? Because I brought a little bit of money just in case.
$1.
Just give them $1 straight up.
Any junkie, $1. Just say money. Just money for a signature. That's all you say.
Say it again. What do you do?
All you got to do is just say money for a signature.
Money for a signature.
If you're doing for $1, okay. If not, just say, you can lie. Say this is to build more homeless shelters.
Oh, just make up some bullshit.
Yeah. Just, as long as they get their pen on that paper and sign their first, last name, signature, any LA address, city, and the city.
Throughout the day, we observed Prince Clay paying numerous individuals for their ballot petition signatures. Later that night, we were able to lure him to a shopping center in order to confront him. So we're out here in front of this Target right now in Los Angeles waiting for Prince Clay to show up. We told him that we're out here hustling hard right now, gathering some late night signatures. And when he shows up, we're going to ask him, why are you committing outright fraud? Why are you committing this crime? And we'll see if he wants to atone for some of these crimes that we have seen him commit on camera. Hey, Prince, what's going on, man?
What's going on, bro? What's going on?
Anthony Rubin.
How you doing, bro?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, my case I'm on, I can't be on camera.
No, so we're trying to ask you because we got you on camera admitting to some serious crimes, man. Okay. Yeah. We got you on drone handing out dollars for signatures on Skid Row, so we're trying to figure out what's going on, man.
Hey, man, it's the hustle right now, bro.
Right, but that's a serious crime. You know that, right?
That's not a serious crime.
So what's going on, man? Who do you work for?
Huh? Who do I work for? I work for myself.
You work for yourself?
You got any papers for me?
Dude.
Show me some papers.
Papers for you? This is an undercover expose. This is going on the news.
Okay. Cool.
Right. So do you have anything you want to say about this?
Do you have any papers for me or no? So I could make my day, you know?
No, we're concerned because, dude, we got you on camera paying money for signatures on Skid Row. We have it on drone shots. We have you admitting to it.
All right, so you don't have no papers.
Dude, that's the last thing you should be concerned about right now.
What do you think I'd be concerned about, bro?
What? Going on the news and getting prosecuted.
If you wanted to do this, you could have just did that on Skid Row. That's every day.
So you're not at all concerned? So you're not concerned that we have you on camera committing a crime?
Bro, anyways, you got any signatures from me?
So you're not concerned at all about that?
No, it's just as long as you guys don't
fall. So this is Prince Clay, and he's not concerned at all that we have him literally on drone handing out dollars on Skid Row.
Yeah,
four signatures.
It's Prince Clay. But you know this is like not a smart idea. You know it's only two of you guys. That camera and mic could get took real quick, bro. That's not smart.
When this goes out and it's on camera that, you know, you're committing this crime and admitting to committing a crime.
No, I didn't admit to nothing.
Of course you did. So there goes Prince Clay. He's walking out of the store now. He is one of many such individuals that are out across the state of California paying individuals money in exchange for their signatures on ballot initiatives. We went to MacArthur Park, a homeless and drug-ridden area similar to Skid Row, where we found even more ballot petition fraud.
What do I got to do? What's the deal here?
Oh, you just sign it, and it's a petition to tax billionaires.
Do I get anything out of this?
You got tips?
Cigarettes? Come here. Let's talk to
them.
We got cigarettes. What you need?
Cigarettes? I get a cigarette out of this?
Yes, of course.
Okay, what am I signing here?
This one right here. So this is what you do. Print your name, signature, address, city, and zip code.
How many cigarettes do I get?
You get a cigarette for every page you sign.
A cigarette for every page I sign?
Yep. That's easy.
So behind me is a man who claims to go by the name Eric, and we caught him on camera offering to give cigarettes in exchange for signatures on ballot initiatives, which is a serious crime. So we're going to go up right now and just ask him what the heck is going on. Come on, let's take a look. Eric, how are you? Good to see you, man. So I wanted to ask you about what you're doing out here giving cigarettes in exchange for ballot initiative signatures.
You say you want to do what?
Well, you're on camera giving cigarettes in exchange for ballot initiative signatures, so I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Because that is a very serious crime.
It is?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
So can I get your thoughts on that?
No, you can't.
I cannot get your thoughts on that? Well, sir, I just want to warn you. I mean, this is going to go out. It's going to be on the news. And, you know, that was your opportunity to give a comment about what is on camera. We got drone footage of it. We got on the ground footage of it. You said I get a cigarette per signature, and I want to know what your thoughts are on that.
What are your thoughts on it?
My thoughts?
Yeah.
Well, you see, my thoughts are that it's a very serious crime and you're undermining the electoral process here in California.
Okay.
So that's it?
Pretty much. That's what you have.
So what's the name of your company?
What's the name of your company?
Muckraker.com.
Thank you.
So that's it? You don't have anything to say?
No.
Are you going to continue to do this?
Are you going to continue to do this?
To ask you questions?
Whatever you're doing.
Oh, absolutely. That's my job.
Thank you. Have a good day.
So you have no other comment?
No. We smoking. We chilling. We out here getting petitioned. If you want a cigarette and you're homeless, you can have one.
What about you? So you understand that giving...
Keep putting that camera in my face.
Whoa, you can't touch. That's battery.
Well,
that is battery
touch,
right there.
You
that's
can't
battery.
Touch my face. Why are you in my face?
You're too close.
Well, we're standing right here. We're going to be standing right here.
No, back up away from me.
Whoa, you can't be touching things. You can't be touching things. So what we're going to do is we're going to...
Who gives a fuck? Shut up.
Well, we're going to be referring this matter to law enforcement.
Who cares? Do it.
We just
have
talked to law enforcement. Did you see us here?
So this here is Eric, or at least he claims to be Eric. He's wearing a suit. I would actually like to know if he paid for that suit with money that he got by getting signatures in exchange for cigarettes.
Got something to say?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Well, you're going to be on the news. You're going to be on the news.
We don't care about the news.
And you're going to get charged. You're going to get charged most likely with a crime.
No, either way, no. We clearly don't care about the news.
Excuse me?
No one here cares about the news.
All right, that's fine.
You don't know that by now?
Huh?
Huh? We don't know that MacArthur Park doesn't care about the news.
Okay. Listen, sir, we're going to leave now. Good
Bye.
Luck with yourself, okay? With so many ballot petition circulators blatantly violating the law in broad daylight, we wanted to know, who are these people working for? We discovered that there are numerous independent companies doing petition circulation work across the city of Los Angeles. We were able to get a job interview with an LA-based company called Urban Signers. What we uncovered connects this scandal to something far larger than we expected.
Yes, hi.
Okay, hi.
Urban Signers?
Yes.
Are you Priscilla?
I'm Priscilla.
Oh, hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
He's Frank.
Meet Frank Tesimo, founder and CEO of Urban Signers. Tesimo previously led a Swiss signature collection firm called Incop. In 2024, Swiss media reported allegations that Incop submitted large numbers of invalid or allegedly forged signatures for nationwide ballot initiatives. Criminal complaints were filed in connection with Incop and Tesimo personally. Months later, Tesimo launched Urban Signers LLC in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Hey, how are you, sir? Anthony.
Frank. And you?
Anthony.
Okay.
Good to see you.
My name is Frank. And you?
Hey, I'm curious, where are you guys from? I see it's in French.
I'm Ghanaian.
Oh, you're from Ghana?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Are you American citizens?
No.
Oh, you're not citizens?
No.
Oh. Oh, wow. How long you been in the United States?
Maybe 2 years. 2 years.
2 years here? And before, you're in Ghana?
No.
He's not Ghanaian. Okay, so basically all these petitions, the people behind them are the companies, they are trying to get them on the ballots. People are going to vote for or against. If you vote for it, it becomes law, a law in California, all of these. So we get as many signatures as required, valid signatures.
Okay.
And it gets on the ballots.
Well, the reason I found out about this, because on Skid Row, some people were saying, hey, I'll pay you $1 or give you a cigarette if you put your name here.
Okay, so...
They was giving out incentives. That's like you said, I give
Yeah, incentives, yeah.
If somebody, let's say somebody's hungry, they say, I need food before I can sign, you give them food.
Let's say like this is $5 or something, a signature, right? And let's say I say, hey, I'll pay you $2 if you give me a signature. Are you guys, is that okay?
We wouldn't even know unless you tell us.
Just so I'm clear, you guys have people, for example, that'll go out and let's say they're making $7 a signature. You're cool if I'm like, hey, I'll pay you $2 if you sign here.
It's okay. That's between you and those people.
Is that against the law if I provide incentives?
No.
No, it's not.
So I could pay like $2 and then I make $7. That's okay.
You could do that if you want to. It's your money.
Like, for example, do your workers have some ideas about good incentives you could provide to get the signature?
So far, nobody has mentioned that. Okay. One man mentioned giving cigarettes to people.
Oh, really?
He said all they need is... like you give them cigarettes, and I was like, okay, that is between him and them.
But you're not going to put a stop to it.
Well,
she has no control over that.
They are workers. Like, you
they
are
go
independent.
Through one
so
and out the other.
Independent. So if that is what she wants to do.
Because I'm trying to make this money out here. So, like, what kind of incentives do you recommend we provide when we do this?
Some guy takes cigarette. Did you?
Yeah.
So I like give some cigarettes or something.
Sometimes.
Or like like I was saying to her, huh?
Yeah, sometimes somebody
just talk, says,
well, give me one signature, I'll give you one cigarette.
And that's okay?
Yes, if you want.
Dude, I'm literally going to the store right now and getting boxes of cigarettes, dog.
Not easy, yeah.
I'm literally getting boxes of cigarettes, homie. Dude, I'm... You know what I'm saying?
How about you do it? It's between you and them.
Okay. But okay.
Don't talk to me.
Yeah, we don't...
You don't know that.
Yeah.
This is your business.
Ah, okay. Yeah, for sure, for sure. Easy money, man.
We return to Urban Signers later in the day to ask Frank Tesimo what is going on at his company.
Hi. Anthony Rubin. We just spoke with you. So you mentioned to me in there, you said that people sometimes they pay with, they use cigarettes?
No.
They use cigarettes to get
everything
signatures?
Everything has to be within the laws of California.
Right.
With regards to petition circulation. So, and then I told you that our workers are independent contractors.
Mm-hmm.
So, we don't control what they do out there. But everything they do should be within the laws of California.
But you told me
and
that...
I told you don't go buy packets of cigarettes.
But that's not what you said at first. At first you said yeah, you could give them cigarettes.
Somebody asks you for food or something.
Right.
That depends on what you do.
But that's a crime. So when I mentioned to you, you said, yeah, we could just give a cigarette or something.
No.
I have it on camera.
I'm talking to you. It's not possible. I told you that.
I have it on camera.
No.
Yes.
No, it's
on camera.
No, I'm telling you that. You play. You don't.
No, but I have it on camera. So I have it on camera, man. Excuse me. So do you have any comment about that? How many of the signatures that you gather are paid for with cigarettes or other things?
If we go down, ops, please stop that. Please stop it.
Hey, don't touch his camera. Do not touch his camera. Hey, do not touch his camera. So I just want to know, man, what's the situation? How many of the signatures that you guys gather are paid for with cigarettes? Can you tell me that? And don't touch his camera again, please. We want to know how many are paid for with cigarettes. He said, you know, oh, you could give a cigarette. The other lady said you could give food. I asked if I can give maybe money sometimes, and they said it's on you. So where are you going, man? Frank is your name? We want to know. So you've been in this country, you told me, for 2 years, and this is what you... Hey, do not touch me. Do not touch me. Do not touch... Don't get too close to me.
No, you don't touch me.
I'm not coming close. We're staying right here. Whoa, hold the camera.
Stop.
Do not touch.
Don't
do not touch.
Touch me.
I'm not touching you. I'm staying good.
Don't come again.
Well, no, we're staying about 6 feet
please
away from you.
Leave me.
Can you answer the question?
Stop. Leave me.
Can you answer the question? You gotta get a backup.
You
gotta back up.
You want to play?
I'm gonna stay 10 feet away from you.
You upset me.
I'm gonna stay 10 feet away from you.
What are you doing?
We wanna know if you have any comment, man, because that's a crime that you guys spoke of.
This is the girl. She's not up to job. She don't want to do buzz.
Okay,
what do you want to do that? This is not normal. This is illegal.
What's illegal? What is illegal? What is illegal? Hey, Frank, come on. Frank, let's talk. Well, okay. Hey, Frank, you're not going to talk to us? Hey, this is going to go all over the internet. You're going to be on the news. You might want to talk. Priscilla. Better be careful. Don't be giving out cigarettes for votes. Don't be giving out cigarettes. Hey, there he is. There's Frank. Frank, I have a message for you. Frank's on the run. Frank is on the run.
It is widely recognized that paying petition circulators on a per signature basis can create incentives for fraud. For this reason, several states have banned the practice outright. In recent years, multiple bills have been introduced in California aimed at reducing the type of misconduct shown in this video. One such measure, AB 1451, would have prohibited paying petition circulators per signature. It was vetoed in 2019 by Gavin Newsom, who argued that the bill, quote, erects barriers to citizen participation in the electoral process. A similar bill, SB 660, was also vetoed by the governor in 2021. We have referred our findings to the appropriate authorities in the state of California and are ready to cooperate with any investigation into the fraud documented in this report. Those responsible for undermining the integrity of the electoral process in California must be held accountable under the law.
So we knew each other, and the last time I saw Charlie Kirk on this earth was in June, in in the West Wing in the stairway, and I said hi to him, and he looked me in the eye, and he said very loudly, and it's a small, you've been in the West Wing, it's small, it's a tight space, and he said, Joe, stop us from getting into a war with Iran. Very loudly.
He was single-minded.
And he walked off, and he went, I believe, into the Oval. So when one of President Trump's closest advisors, who is vocally advocating for us to not go to war with Iran and for us to rethink at least our relationship with the Israelis. And then he's suddenly publicly assassinated and we're not allowed to ask any questions about that. It's a data point. It's a data point that we need to look into.
What do you mean, when you say we're not allowed to ask any questions about that?
We've been told that this individual, Robinson, is a lone gunman, and maybe he is. But the investigation that I was a part of, the National Counterterrorism Center was a part of, we were stopped from continuing to investigate. And the FBI will say that they stopped that because they wanted to have turn everything over to the Utah State Authorities. Everything's going to trial. It's very, very sensitive. But there was still a lot for us to look into that I can't really get into. But there was still linkage for us to investigate that we needed to run down. And I'm not making any conclusions. I'm not saying
I don't think you are.
Because, you know, because of this happened. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying there's unanswered questions. We know the pressure because of the text messages that have been made public, that Charlie was under a lot of pressure from a lot of pro-Israel donors. And again, we know Charlie was advocating to President Trump against this war with Iran.
Back in September of last year, 1 week after Charlie Kirk was killed, I broke exclusively on air from inside White House sources. It was a cabinet meeting with Tulsi Gabbard, Kent, the vice president, the president, and others. And that Cashtel was there, blew up, and said, I don't want you involved in intel domestically. I got it from high-level White House sources, and I confirmed with others that were there, that they said, we don't want accomplices. We're going with the lone gunman. We're going with this story and that.
Charlie Kirk was shot at 12:23 p.m. on September 10th.
Cash Patel went in there and screamed at Tulsi Gabbard, and the vice president was there, and said, you're trying to investigate foreign involvement in Charlie Kirk's killing. We're not looking at any of it.
Less than a day later, the FBI, at my direction, released the first set of images of the suspect that we captured based on our analysis on the ground.
What do you mean when you say we're not allowed to ask any questions about that?
We've been told that this individual, Robinson, is a lone gunman, and maybe he is. But the investigation that I was a part of, the National Counterterrorism Center was a part of, we were stopped from continuing to investigate.
I had White House sources saying Cash Patel had a meeting and said, don't look at domestic help, which we knew he had. They were all bragging about he'll be dead tomorrow and said, see, we told you, and foreign connections. So we have been looking at this from the very beginning. I told you back in September.
Less than a day later.
From the very beginning. Back in September.
We were stopped from continuing to investigate.
Less than a day later.
I told you.
Stopped from continuing to investigate.
The very beginning.
Charlie Kirk was shot.
I told you.
Stopped from continuing to investigate.
InfoWars. Tomorrow's news. Today.
I just recommend the people personal relationship with God, praying to God, saying, I want to be good. I want to recognize truth. I want to know what truth is. I want to open myself up to you. I'm an imperfect. I repent for what I've done. And I want you to cleanse me and then show me the truth and then show me how to be a better person. And then show me after that what the mission is you have for me. And literally, if you do that through a process, it may take days, may take months, may take years, then the adventure begins. And then all of a sudden you're being given like intel and stuff, like, and like literally just, you have to learn to go with it. It's never wrong. And it's God, and it's there, and it's your personal relationship. And then obviously people get this relationship. They all want to teach other people it. And God says, get together in groups. That's great. But Christ didn't try to go get the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the priest class to join him. He said their minds were closed. He went to the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the robbers, and the thieves, because they were already outcast. But that's where he found people that were already under evil's control but weren't arrogant about it, who were looking for a way out. And so, I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to, is a spiritual relationship with God. And there are some real churches and things.
But don't you find that? I know I have found that. You see sparks of this in the most unlikely people. If you put a list on paper of the people in your life, I won't ask you to say it out loud, but who you really trust, or you talk to and you groove with them and they like know exactly what you're saying. You know, they are on the same wavelength in some deep way. It's not the people you would expect. Have you ever noticed that?
Absolutely. Most people get into media because they want to be movie stars. Most people become a preacher because they want to, you know, because they want to be famous and have power. And then you'll find, like, just the most just normal, unassuming person that has all this great knowledge.
Yes.
Because they already have all the power. They don't need power. And so it's just...
They're connected to God's power? Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. And it's quite the quest because so many people are lost, and really it's an inside job. They've got to somehow open up the channel to God, and then they'll see everything that's happening, and then God will give them a message and a mission of what they should do. And I don't want to say all churches are bad, because there's a lot of good people in the churches regardless. It's just that the last 120 years, the Rockefeller Foundation, the ecumenical movement, and all of that has really moved into the churches. We see that with all the rainbow flags and all, you know, the famous cathedrals in England now festooned with all the leftist, you know, graffiti and garbage. So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out. They put it in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexhillstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexhillstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexhillstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexhillstore.com, and I thank you for your support.